about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Kobe, the other night you had a dream, and it happened to come through tonight.
It came true tonight. We worked so hard. It was a hard-fought game, and we finally got a championship, and it feels great.
For your 21 years, you said you've always dreamed of winning a championship. Is it what you dreamed of?
Oh, it's everything and more. I mean, you have the Laker colors falling from the ceiling, the fans going crazy. It feels great.
No feeling quite like this, is it?
Woo! Love it.
Brad for 80. This would be 18 for 20 from the line, and an 81-point game. 55 in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
He has been great. And on his final night, he has six 60-point games in his career. 60. The Lakers close out Kobe Bryant's career with a win and one of the great farewell performances in any sport. At any time.
Today, for basketball fans, Kobe represented the sport that we all love so much, like very few others have.
In tribute to Kobe Bryant, as we've seen in San Antonio earlier tonight, these teams respectively will take a 24-second violation.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. It is Monday morning, the 27th of January.
It is one of those days, and I'm not sure in L.A. we faced it ever. I do remember when Magic Johnson was diagnosed with AIDS.
Yeah.
It felt sort of like a ghost town a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But even this morning, I saw a bunch of buses, like city buses, and they all had just "Go Lakers" as the digital screen up top, which is, I assume, something that's not on every bus
right.
Going through the city. It is a very odd, awful collective day here. And it's very strange to come in and do like morning radio and be funny. Like, last night we were sort of all on a group chat and talking, and I was like, how do you do a phone topic where it's like, have you been haunted by a pet? You know what I mean? Like, it's very...
Is that today?
We really wanted it to be. But it is. It's very strange.
Yeah.
You don't... And I saw a friend from high school tweet this morning. It feels like someone died in our family. How do you just sort of ignore you didn't know him? You know what I mean? And that is, for L.A., we've known him since he was like 18.
Yeah, true.
Very
played
strange.
His entire career here,
yeah.
Which doesn't happen very often.
And we've went up through, the guy was a very complicated man. You know, there was things to praise, clearly, and things to not praise. And I think that journey that we went through with him, it doesn't feel complete to lose him so abruptly.
Yeah.
And in such kind of like a odd, unpredictable way.
Yeah.
Very strange.
He sort of came across to me, maybe this is just the way we looked at him, but he sort of came across to me as bigger than life,
yeah.
Maybe a superhero. So if that's the case, then how does it just end like that, like it would with the rest of us?
Exactly.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit harder to get your head around.
And then to learn of his daughter is devastating, and the coach and everyone else who was on that plane. A lot of people, usually when a celebrity dies, you don't think about the tons of other people who die every day.
Yeah.
But in a situation like this, it's like anytime I hear a fam, I mean, this is, it's a tragic situation, Kobe Bryant or not. It seems very difficult to wrap my brain around.
And I can't imagine as a parent losing my husband and daughter.
Yeah.
That's the brutal thing that I don't think maybe she'll ever get past.
No.
Yeah. And all day it was, misinformation after misinformation. On the news,
yeah.
On Twitter. It wasn't just a Twitter thing where people were saying, oh, Rick Fox is the one. There was a guy on ABC that said his whole family was on the plane. It was just one thing after another, so you weren't really sure who to believe. But we did find out 9 people were on that helicopter. It was Kobe, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, goes by Gigi, Gianna's basketball teammate, Alyssa Altobelli, her father, John Altobelli, who's the baseball coach at Orange Coast College, Alyssa's mother, Carrie Altobelli. They're leaving behind 2 more kids.
Yeah.
So a brother and a sister just lost their whole family. A woman named Christina Mauser, who's a basketball coach at nearby Harvard Day School in Orange County. That's the school that Gigi attended. It was a K-8 school. And then a middle school student named Peyton Chester and his mother, Sarah Chester, and the pilot, Ara Zobian. So that's just a list of people that are now gone, not even to mention the hundreds of people in their orbit whose lives are forever changed.
This is the first I'd really heard of the other. I go to sleep early, obviously, so I had never known about the middle schooler or the other coach. Is the middle schooler part of the team, or we don't know?
It doesn't say.
Got it.
Here, yeah.
Crazy. I mean, I was reading a Washington Post article also this morning about the coach, about Antebelli, and the Washington Post called him the Kobe Bryant of college baseball, which I would never have known that he was like a very, I mean, he has 700 victories in 27 seasons, 4 state titles. He coached several baseball players who went on to the major leagues. So then I told you guys as I walked in, The Athletic wrote an amazing article on Gigi and how her career was sort of destined for WNBA. And I mean, the one thing I would say about this whole situation, even with, I was listening to that ABC report that said the family had passed away. Yeah. And I mean, Danielle just started bawling immediately when she heard it. And then to find out that was not the report was so reckless. And Twitter, I always assume, is reckless. But to have these other things going on where we're able to pay tribute to the coach and the daughter. And I mean, it does feel like there's some progress in not just making it this shiny celebrity death that TMZ maybe reported too early. Like there is, it feels like the community, at least in Los Angeles, is looking at this as more than just Kobe Bryant and a tragic situation.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this morning's show, shall we?
Let's give it one more try. Let's get back in the groove.
We'll try. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a chance to call in about Kobe a little bit later on this morning. We have Matt Money Smith.
Have you been haunted by a pet?
No, that's...
Call in.
I think we're bumping that.
Okay.
I don't think that's on today's show.
That's fine. That's fine.
Matt Money Smith, who did the pregame and the halftime and postgame for the Lakers for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, will join us as well. Comedian Russell Peters joins us in studio.
Yes.
So that's coming up, too. We'll take a break, and we will come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. And 10 minutes before the top of every hour, we do What's Happening with Allie.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about Kobe during the hour. So we're going to do a little showbizy entertainment stuff in these What's Happenings. Yeah. Because other things did go on last night, whether they wanted them to or not. The Grammys. Holy crap, Billie Eilish.
Yes.
Man, oh man.
My gosh.
Yeah, you can't be mad at that.
No, the big four. Record of the year, Bad Guy, Billie Eilish. Album of the year, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Billie Eilish. Best New Artist, Billie Eilish. Song of the year, Bad Guy, Billie Eilish.
Stop. Kids.
You get it, yeah.
There's one more, though.
Oh, God.
Because those were the big four.
Right.
Those are the ones you dream of winning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Best Pop Vocal Performance. Or Best Pop Vocal Album, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Billie Eilish.
It was so cute. It felt like she was embarrassed by how many she won.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She was like, stop.
Yeah.
No one look at
the
me.
The last time she went up to give a speech, she just said thank you and turned to walk back off.
She did the absolute right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big night for Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas, the co-writers of those songs. Just, I love seeing them up there. It made me very happy. Best Rock Song, This Land by Gary Clark Jr. Best Rock Album, Social Cues by Cage the Elephant. We didn't, you know, get to see them perform their award. Best Alternative Music Album, Father of the Bride, Vampire Weekend. We didn't get to see them perform or get their award. That's okay if you don't want to, you know, have all the genres performing.
Sure.
But it's music's biggest night,
mm-hmm.
I feel like.
It's music's biggest night.
I
feel like they might, I mean, I'm just talking from devil's advocate point. Mm-hmm. I think they think Aerosmith represented the rock side, which is wrong.
Can we discuss Aerosmith's performance?
Yeah.
Remember when they didn't let their drummer play? He had to like re-audition after he had left problem with his shoulder. He had to play to a click track. He wasn't up to par, according to Aerosmith, so he was sitting this one out. They had the drum tech who has been filling in perform. Did they do the same thing with Steven Tyler? Like, hey, maybe you should re-audition.
Have him audition?
Because your voice ain't nearly what it should be. Sir, hey, Scarfy, what was that?
It was a little rough.
It was really rough. It made me sad for that drummer to be like, oh, you weren't good enough.
Yeah.
But that dude up there is good enough.
Not to pile on, but did you see the video of the drummer trying to enter the rehearsal space?
That was all for cameras.
Yeah, obviously, but it's still very sad.
It's
I mean, the whole
very
thing
sad.
Is brutal and...
Yeah. He was allowed on stage over the weekend when they had their big, I think it was a Music Cares thing. Mm-hmm. So he was able to go up there, but that is now forever tarnished.
Yeah.
He won't be in the band again. I think it's safe to say. When you sue the members of your band,
sure,
they're not like, hey, you know what?
Ender. It's kind of an end thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite something. Did you guys watch the show? Were you in and out?
I was in and out.
In and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone? I loved Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Again.
She's always good.
Yeah.
I think Common said it best when he said, there's no one better that could have hosted this on this night because of her heart. She just has so much heart.
She's very genuine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you notice Swizz Beatz, I guess in her stepson, that he wears skeleton face paint? So there's a couple shots of Alicia Keys singing to her family, and there's a boy who's pretty big. I mean, he's a big guy who was in full skeleton, almost like Juggalo face paint, but with a tux on, with like a suit on. And I was like, "Who is that?" And
that's so weird.
I literally start Googling skeleton face Swizz Beatz, and it finds out he's a producer DJ whose thing, like where you know, like Marshmello's head or whatever. His thing is this skeleton face
paint.
That's
just his thing.
Swizz Beatz's kid.
Yeah.
How old is he?
I think he's 16 or 18.
Because I saw a child on what I believe to be either her mother or his mother's lap.
There was another boy, right?
It was not that child.
Okay. No.
Got it. I'm like, how did I miss skeleton?
It's pretty crazy. Yes, that was Swizz Beatz's son with skeleton face paint at the Grammys is the headline. His name is Prince Nasir Dean, 19 years old, son with Nicole Evie, and he wears face paint because he's a DJ producer, and that's his gimmick.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot. Like Marshmello, at least you just can take it off and your day is over. This involves a lot of prep.
It is very, it's very, West, it's very West Borland.
Oh, that's full face.
I just showed Allie.
Oh, no, sir.
It's very West Borland. But just seeing him in the mix with all these other, and him wearing a suit, I was like, that's a crazy look, bud.
Oh, he's going to have so many issues with just dry skin and,
it's funny how we all look at that differently.
Yeah.
I feel for that young man. But hey, that's his thing.
Yeah.
You guys, that is his thing. Lizzo kicked off the night.
Yes.
I'm sorry, when she plays the flute, I'm like, you have just been dancing around that stage going nuts, and then you're like, let me just play this wind instrument at a level that nobody else can. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's also something it's an instrument that you never see played in popular music.
No.
And she just picks it up, starts playing, it's like, it is sort of messes with you.
And just dancing the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot. I enjoy it. I definitely enjoy it.
She was amazing.
Yeah, some very interesting performances. DJ Khaled got up there and just yelled.
Yeah.
What is that?
I just can't take him.
Yeah, he's rough.
Is that just what he does?
Yes,
that's all he yells.
As you know, he's always done it.
That's all he's done.
So why is he
keeps doing that?
Why is he famous?
Check this out. Sasha's biscuit, $0.89 all week.
The McDonald's commercial.
Yeah.
Is he
a good producer?
He's technically not a producer.
Oh, no. He just yells?
Yes.
He's a yeller. I don't want to defend him because I really don't. But I will just say that he like curates similar.
He's like a hype man.
He's a way less Quincy. Quincy at least gets in there and produces, but sort of curates the scene in the studio. Khaled sort of does that without actually getting in there and doing drama.
Okay, so he doesn't rap.
He does. Well, he has rapped before, but he's not known for rapping. No.
Singing?
He's definitely never sung.
Okay, so why is he on that stage?
Now, this is what you call a good morning.
Yeah.
Come on, because of that.
Because of that.
I mean, he did get people hyped up. Like, people
get
were...
Up!
He did that.
But, like, so did my camp counselor growing up. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, I didn't see him on stage, though.
I mean, that's unfair.
I would have rather seen him on stage than DJ Khaled.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. I was surprised that DJ Khaled went up, accepted that award for the song he did with John Legend and Nipsey Hussle, and didn't bring up like his album coming up. I was maybe that's growth for him that he just accepted it and didn't say like new album on January 25th.
That's his whole
spiel.
Yeah.
So.
I did love that Sharon Osbourne had the same issue that I did with calling him. No, she called him DJ Khalid.
Khalid, yeah.
Because that's how it's spelled. And then Khaled is spelled Khalid, and Khalid is spelled Khaled. It's very confusing.
And you know how passionate I am about McDonald's.
I do, sir.
I did think they were very cute, though, the Osbournes. I thought they did a really good job with what was kind of a corny gimmick, but it was cute.
Make the old whitey say a bunch of names that are hard because they're rap names.
But she did
they
it
might
good.
Not know.
I thought she did it kind of cute. Yeah.
It was cute. Good stuff last night, you guys. We'll talk about some of the movies over the weekend in just a bit. But for now, some birthdays for you. From Jimmy Kimmel Live, Guillermo.
Yeah.
Best gig in the world.
The best.
Right? Awesome. Keith Olbermann, who, where is he now?
I saw him on SportsCenter. Yeah, I saw him back on SportsCenter.
That's a matter of time.
He's got cats.
What?
He has cats. He has a bunch of cats. Did you not know that?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, he's a big cat guy.
Okay.
You know he doesn't drive?
No, didn't know that.
Doesn't have a license.
Keith Olbermann trivia.
Yeah, wow. Doesn't have a license. Yeah. Odd cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really
weird guy, yeah.
We'll see how long he lasts at this job. Mm-hmm. Patton Oswalt and Alan Cumming. And that.
I'm young, but I'm not going to back down from anyone. I'm just going to play hard. No, who knows?
Dear Kobe. Thank you
for showing us that the number 24 isn't just a number on your jersey, but the amount of hours in a day that you have to devote to the game to be the best.
Thank you for the games that you refuse to lose and the ones you always seem destined to win.
Showing us that even on your worst day, there's nothing else to do but push harder.
Thank you for playing the game the way it was meant to be played.
Thank you for teaching us to believe in ourselves, even when nobody else did.
For 20 years, you gave our game all you had. And we are eternally grateful.
Thank you for being you, competitor supreme.
Thank you for loving the game of basketball.
That was a tribute that ESPN put out.
Yeah, during his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Kobe news was such a surprise yesterday, and it's so hard to get your head around.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult to just accept. It takes a while for something like this, I think, to get used to it, sort of.
Yeah, and something that I feel everyone was connecting on is that this is a guy who would go practice at 3:30 in the morning, or so he was beyond human to especially Los Angeles, and the fact that he was unstoppable on the court, and yet something took him out. It just feels surreal in that way.
Yeah,
I was thinking about the fact that he has had a helicopter since his Laker days.
Mm-hmm.
He would take a helicopter to Staples Center. That's what it was. And I was having this conversation with my friend, and they were like, wow, that's a lot of money to be able to do that. And I said, no, that's efficiency. That's how he would look at it. He's not going to sit on the freeway with a bunch of plebs like us. He wants to get to where he's going so he can work out, mm-hmm. so he can be at the game 4 hours early and be out there shooting. That's just who he was. It was never about, oh, I just, I want to make it easier and just fly. It was efficiency so he could be better.
Yeah, but also like Orange County to Staples Center is awful.
It's a long drive.
Yeah,
it's a long drive.
You know,
I want to be that
it.
Rich. Yeah,
people do it.
Yes.
I always was curious about the younger people on the team.
Yeah.
Why is, if Kobe's out there shooting, I shouldn't go take a shower. You know what I mean? Like, if he's still going to keep going, don't you feel like,
he truly created that conditioning. That is some, that Mamba mentality that you hear about. It's kind of a catchphrase that I'm sure he trademarked. But the truth is that in sports in general, he led the way with that. I mean, that now you see players going out and practicing after games, and that ends up on SportsCenter or whatever. But like the conditioning that guy had to do every season is, I mean, and he used to say is slightly psychopathic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the famous quote where he said, you know, friendships, whatever it was, but basically friendships don't last forever, banners do or whatever, is a famous quote from him. But also, like, that represents the kind of athlete he was, which is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of focus and dedication.
He was gifted, but also the focus and dedication was the part.
Because it's not just about gift, right? There's so many players who have that gift, and yet he is above and beyond because of his own talent, but also the way he conditioned it and decided to push himself further. And it is a surreal day in Los Angeles, and as an NBA fan, all of the city, I mean, the NBA in general, and reading the effect in China, you know, he was like the number one jersey seller in all of China for, I think, a decade or something. It's a world reaction to something that is just extremely tragic.
I think we have time to play Doc Rivers. This is a little rough. This is Doc Rivers talking about his reaction.
You know,
I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, you know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent. He had that DNA that that very few athletes can ever have. You know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans. You know, this is a tough one. The news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family, and there's just so many people he touched. You know. And, you know, it's looking at my young players and seeing how emotional they are. They didn't even know him, you know, and it just tells you how far his reach was. So, this is just shocking news for all of us. And sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't. I have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play a game.
That was that's rough. It's rough to listen to.
You know, I think too is, and it doesn't seem like a lot of people have lost this feeling on it or this angle. Is that yesterday? No matter how you feel about Kobe Bryant, who is a figure that people either love or hate, it appears, and mostly here in Los Angeles, love clearly. A father died, and that seems to be. And he left a family behind and lost his daughter as well, and their family lost a daughter, and it and then other families died in this as well. Yeah. I mean, it is beyond Kobe, the talented basketball player, which we hate to lose, obviously, but beyond that, it is a man who seemed to transition into family very well. And you know, the meme that happened last week with him explaining basketball, it appeared to his daughter at a game.
That was sweet.
Now has a completely different definition. And
I went to a U.S. women's soccer game, and he was there with his kids, and the kids handed him the phone and said, "Can you take a picture?" And Kobe's like, now just dad taking a picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not Kobe at that moment. He's a dad.
Yeah. He appeared to like being a father very much. And that's really quite a sad part of this story.
This is a strange thing that almost never happens. All of the Los Angeles radio stations have agreed to do something at the exact same time, and they're going to have a minute of silence. It's going to be a minute 8, and it's going to be at noon.
Yeah, so 1 minute and 8 seconds.
Every single radio station in Los Angeles will be having a moment of silence for Kobe Bryant. Saturday, we had an event at Slide Bar in Fullerton. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Ping pong, bing bong.
As we're calling it.
Because I just said something. Yeah.
And it was really... The people who listen to our station and to our show are unbelievably nice.
They're too nice.
Yeah.
Technically.
It almost feels like, hey, you shouldn't like me this much. I know me.
Yeah. I don't know if they listen almost. It's like, do you guys listen? That was really my first, other than like April Foolishness, which is technically people paying to see it. So it's not like, I know they know us.
Like, I just see comedians.
That's the thing. Is like, I know they're fans of the show, or at least listen. This was a case where we just said we're going to be somewhere. It's the first time I've ever been a part of something like that. And to have such an outpouring of positive energy and messages, I felt weird. I just kept saying, they're going to stop doing this, right? They're going to eventually just tell us we suck.
They're all going to just now turn.
They did not.
I feel like there was a real groundswell of people that came for one reason and one reason only.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the ping pong.
Right. Wasn't the ping pong.
It wasn't to meet us.
Wasn't the ping pong.
It wasn't to meet us.
It was the Crocs, Kevin.
Yeah. Thank
they
you.
Came to
Thank
see you. If you were, would be wearing your Crocs. And it you?
Did not disappoint.
Did not disappoint.
No.
And.
How hard is it to wear Crocs?
You even went one step further. And you showed those ankles, which
right?
I didn't think you were going to do. You said you're too sexy.
Yeah, it was too hot.
You know what's funny is there were a lot of people commenting like, how white can a person's legs
they
be?
They did look extra white for
they
some reason.
They had some kind of a battery pack, and it was lighting that was coming out of my ankles.
You looked like you were lathered in mayo.
Oh,
like your
God.
Legs were actually had a spread on them.
Yeah.
It was
it's not great.
It was great.
Was it great?
People were like getting power from them.
Yeah.
It felt like it was like there was an energy coming off them.
And they weren't brown. They were blue.
They weren't blue?
I mean, they weren't brown.
They weren't brown.
Well, they were closer to black, I think.
I mean, you...
Which didn't make the ankle thing any better.
Well, finding out that you were colorblind is also a weird thing at Ping Pong Bing Bong. I do want to address kind of the elephant in the room.
Yes, please.
Oh,
Ally McKay, very good at ping pong.
Thank you.
I guess it is the Jensen has the softest hands moment where it's like you kind of quietly sat in the corner and said, I think I'm good at ping pong. And then you went out there and you were basically the Andre Agassi of that.
I mean, I dominate. There's a top spin that is unlike anyone else's top spin. Yeah. Absolutely. We had a ping pong table growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Played a lot of ping pong. Something I realized there after I played for a minute, I was like, oh, God. I shouldn't say it. I'm going to go ahead. I just felt like the balls were flying at my face because I wear glasses at night
mm-hmm.
because I'm nearsighted. And at night, after a long day, that's when my eyes really need the glasses when I drive.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling that when I was playing ping pong. I was like, I know I'm nailing these,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the time of night where I'm just starting. My eyes are like, dude, put something on them if you need to focus on something.
Right.
I didn't want to play anymore because I knew within 20 minutes when it was just dark out and it was just the lights everywhere, I was going to be a real mess.
So you knew when to call it quits.
Oh, I knew. I went out on top.
She did.
Unlike Tom Brady, unlike Brett Favre, I went out on top.
You didn't. You were Michael Jordan, but never played on the Wizards.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
no,
you.
I get. I understand that. I understand what you did.
How long did you play? Because to me, it seemed like you played for two or three.
No, she somehow confused all of us because I would have said the same thing.
Yeah.
She didn't play long.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying I think she played two or three.
No, she manipulated all of us.
Thank you. I stopped.
Slammed it, screamed at everybody, and just peace
just
out.
Yeah. Got out.
I stopped time. That is also
that is sort of what
a
happened.
Gift
yeah.
that you didn't know I had, as well as the topspin. But it was so fun.
It was.
What lovely, lovely listeners.
They're great.
That came down. You know what I did hear a lot from women?
Is how white can someone's ankles be?
That mm-hmm. as well. But a lot of women said the same exact thing. My boyfriend got me into listening to you guys, which made me laugh so hard. And I was like, oh, God bless your boyfriends. But thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to the ladies that now listen that maybe never would have because they were terrifying.
You also see people come up and it's clear that they're one of them mm-hmm. listens to us and the other one doesn't and doesn't
just
really
came
care.
As a friend.
Yeah, doesn't care,
take a picture or whatever. Yeah. You just go, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that you're being tortured with us.
Did you guys meet Maddie? Do you remember?
Sure. Yeah.
She was the one who gave us the fish thing. For did you get involved in that, Kevin?
No, I didn't.
Kevin was playing ping pong, and she kept asking me if she should go and talk to him. And
okay.
I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
She brought the bing bong. She mm-hmm. basically said, hey, this is a sort of like a Chinese New Year tradition.
Yes.
And you remember those like color forms as kids that they were like little stickers that you would put on a board?
Yeah.
Like that kind of waxish feeling figure. So she had it was a fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she would put it on your palm. And then whatever the fish did, there was a response.
Like if his head went up
or his tail went up, or head and tail, for some reason, that piece of fish, mm-hmm. the wax kind of figure, would move in your hand.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
Very odd, very magic based. So she puts it down and she goes, okay, so let's see what happens. And the head of it moved.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, oh, that's very cool. What does that mean? And she turns around the wax paper and it just says, jealousy. I said, oh my God, this is terrible. Why? What, who am I jealous of? Is someone jealous of me? And she goes, I don't know. It's just what I said, is everyone coming up jealous? She goes, no.
No.
I go, what? What? And I go, then do it again. Do it again. I'm not going to just,
right.
Now she's entered my OCD. I'm not going to end with jealousy. And so she goes, okay. So she puts it back with my mom and it's just the head again. And she goes, it's jealousy again.
Yeah.
And I go, can you do one more time? She goes, yeah. And so she puts it down. She goes, look, the tail and the head are moving. And I go, oh, that's great. Great. Perfect. And she flips it around. And it says like sickness is coming.
What?
Yeah, I got the only two negative responses.
Mine were super good.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was like, you're attractive, you're
no,
good at ping pong.
Was somebody's, either you're in love or somebody is in love with you. And I was like, tell me something I don't know, plastic fish.
I'm over here being tragic and living a jealous life. Ugh.
Not everybody came to play ping pong was that good.
No.
And no one cared. That was sort of fun.
Yeah.
There were people there that hadn't played ping pong before.
For sure.
There was one guy who did bring his own paddle.
Two
of his own paddles. Yeah. And he said, I'm not sure how hard to go.
You were forced to play him.
Yeah, I played him. It was fine. He was not that great.
Wow.
He would hold the ball in his palm, you know, and he would get down like he's a grandmaster or whatever they are.
But he wasn't that good.
Not that good.
It's great.
And I said to him, if you're going to bring your own paddle, you need to destroy me.
It would be funny if he's like, dude, it's not that much of an investment. These are like $15.
But they had a case.
Oh.
Ping, he had to zip open the case and take one out, and he's like, "Do you want one?" I'm like, "No, I'm good.
I'm fine."
Sweet spirit.
And then there was a guy in the Raiders jacket. Mm-hmm. This guy killed me because he got up there and he started like hitting it out of his hand, like he was serving illegally, but it didn't matter because no one cared.
Sure.
So we played two or three, you know, rounds, and then about halfway through, he was totally sandbagging me, and halfway through, he destroyed me. The guy in the Raiders was like, I was like, oh, yeah, let's just play and let's, I don't want him to feel bad.
Right.
And then he turned and literally got as many points as we played to the end of the game, and I got none.
So he was basically like White Man Can't Jumping you. Like he wanted you to think he wasn't good, and then one minute he was like, and just became like Forrest Gump.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Huh.
So Raiders, am I right?
I mean, sure. It's the one time they won this season.
And also a lot of thanks to the Slide Bar.
Yes. Absolutely.
For hosting
so great.
Us.
They are great.
And the band that played after.
The Curse.
Everyone stayed for that.
Yeah. They were good.
Cover band that was great.
Yeah. They were good.
Excellent work.
Fun times. Guys. Thanks, fun everyone. Time. See you soon. We'll do
10 minutes till the top of every hour. We do What's Happening with Ally McKay.
Kevin.
Yes.
Have you seen Bad Boys for Life yet?
Yes.
Oh.
And?
It's really good.
Good.
Excellent.
That makes me happy. Oh, what was that face you put at the end there?
It's
it was like you were winking at me that you're lying and they're sponsors of the show.
Lying. No, not at all. I expected it to be a little better just based on the trailers, but it was still it was an 8 from what I expected.
Oh, I think that's excellent.
Yeah.
Kevin. Well, Sony's Bad Boys for Life, starring, of course, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, and Oscar contender 1917. Both surged past the $100 million mark at the box office, becoming 2020's first films to reach that landmark. Mm. Not bad. And you saw 1917?
Yes.
You're such a movie dude.
He loves
I
movies.
I love going to movies.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Top 10 at the box office. Number 1, Bad Boys for Life. Number 2, 1917. Number 3, Doolittle.
Oh.
You gonna see that?
Nope.
All right.
Hey, by the way, cracking the top 3 is okay.
I know.
I thought that movie was never even gonna show up in the top 10.
It made $11.3 million.
Right.
So.
I mean, it cost like $170. So,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it's only made like $43
million. Mm-hmm.
Which isn't
is that
what
as
you
much?
Want.
It isn't. Okay.
Yeah, it isn't what you want.
As you know, it was called, I think we may have done some damage to it because Movie Man called it Pooh Little.
Yeah.
I think the rest could never look at it seriously again.
No, it's right. True. Coming in 4th, The Gentlemen. See that, Kevin?
I think
I saw that
might.
Too.
You
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So many movies.
Amazing.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That was great.
Was
gosh,
it like.
I love movies.
Like the movie man said, it was going to go back to Guy Ritchie's roots.
Yes, very much
and
so.
And it did.
Very much so.
Excellent.
And it started out like he does confusing and time.
Yeah.
You know,
travel,
go back
yeah.
in time and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. It was a little bit confusing and it was a little bit of a slow start, but man, when it got going, it's amazing.
Huh.
And I meant time jumps, not time travel yeah. for all the people that are about to email
me. I couldn't put it
into
words either.
Yeah. Time jumps.
The time thing that he does.
Sure.
He does timey things. Coming in number 5, Jumanji, The Next Level.
I have not seen that yet.
Okay, wow. All right. It's been out
that
for a while.
That does seem like that's a me movie.
I think you might like it. Yeah.
I feel like you would, for sure. Guys, remember last week when I did the story about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series for Disney Plus and they were halting it?
Canceled.
And people were out of their minds. Well, Ewan McGregor is here to say, calm your teeth. He's addressing recent reports that have claimed his Obi-Wan Kenobi series for Disney Plus is dead in the water. He and director Deborah Chow are countering the reports and saying that the series has just been pushed back over scripts. Here's his quote. It's been put on hold. It's just been pushed back a little bit. The scripts are excellent, and they just want them to be better.
But sure.
Okay.
All right. Don't we all? Yeah.
So we pushed it back, but it's very dramatic, it would seem, online. There's all kinds of S online about it, but it's just slid back a bit. He's really sticking
wow.
with it. It's just
sure
slid
is.
Back. Calm your teas. He said, we're still shooting it. I think it will still be aired when it was meant to be, and I'm really excited. It'll be fun to play again. That's good to hear.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
agreed.
Is absolutely good to hear, because a lot of people won't say a word. If something comes down from the head saying, listen, we've got to do this, that, and the other, you're silent
yeah.
until that airs. So thanks, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. And because of the internet now, like the notes process from a studio,
or
we know all about it, which
absolutely.
Is weird. But it's, sometimes notes make them better. Sometimes they make them worse. But I guess because Star Wars has fired a bunch of directors and things like that, people expect turmoil from everything.
Yeah. So yesterday was obviously a very tough day around the world, but mostly here in Los Angeles with the passing of Kobe and the eight other people on that plane or on that helicopter. Mm-hmm. You can always count on Anthony Jeselnik to tweet something highly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But this time he just tweeted something that made me laugh so hard, not because it was inappropriate, just because it was funny.
He has calmed down on it over the last few years, but there were times when there was like a shooting and he would put something up there. He was always quick to put it up to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
This one he kind of waited on for a bit, and I think people were like, where's your tweet about this? Mm-hmm. So he retweeted the AV Club that said, The Late Late Show with James Corden. To air repeats on Comedy Central early in the morning. He quote tweets it and just writes, just when you thought this day couldn't get any worse.
what was the one you sent me? I like the one you sent me. It's not a time for jokes, clearly. It's tough.
But that's sort of how people...
Some people...
That's how you get through stuff.
Some people get through it that way. And there was one you sent me that made me laugh.
It was about...
I even wrote back to you. I said, Kobe would have liked that one.
Yeah, it was about how Kobe is going to walk through the gates of heaven and just punch David Stern in the face for that CP3 trade.
I was like, he probably would have liked that one. Tough waters to navigate.
Absolutely. Guys, so that's what's happening now. Synergy between ViacomCBS and Comedy Central. They're going to do a blended block of late night encores. So starting today, Comedy Central is going to re-air The Daily Show with Trevor Noah starting at 7 a.m., followed by The Late Late Show with James Corden.
These are people, but they're cats, and this is kind of blowing my mind.
Oh.
So that's going to happen Monday through Friday on the Viacom cable network. There you have it.
I'm surprised it took this long to do that.
Yeah, Synergy is here. They're just going to replay CBS stuff. I mean, listen, FX and Disney, I mean, there's going to be more and more of this. So get used to it.
Good times, you guys. Good times. Did any of you notice the... it was a big part of the Grammys. The Prince tribute that Usher did with Sheila E. playing the drums. They started it by saying, FKA Twigs, Usher, and...
FKA Twigs just danced.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm watching it going, wait, is that her on the pole? And it was.
Yeah.
Just doing this pole dance. Mm-hmm. And then she came up and stood next to him. And I'm like, here she is. Here's where she sings. Just dance next to him. And kind of walked away.
She's very talented, by the way.
She's a great singer.
Very talented. Maybe she was sort of playing the Appalachian. Like, maybe she was playing a role that Prince kind of had around, a Carmen Electra. But they also kind of sang.
Yeah.
So it was very weird.
It was extremely weird.
It was very odd.
So
she's so talented.
Rolling Stone's Rob Sheffield said, imagine making the decision to not let FKA Twigs sing anything at all. Other people tweeting, oh, so she's just been reduced to a backup dancer now? Here's where it gets weird.
Okay.
She took to social media to clarify. She said, of course I wanted to sing at the Grammys. I wasn't asked this time, but hopefully in the future. Nonetheless, it was an honor. Congratulations to all the winners.
Hmm.
So if I read that, I'd be like, F the Grammys, what is happening? Then Sheila E. told reporters she didn't want to sing. First she wanted to, but then she didn't want to when we ran through it because she didn't have a microphone pack and an in-ear monitor, so she couldn't hear. And she would have rather danced is what we asked her to do as well. She chose not to. She said, no, I'm okay.
Well, she didn't have an inner ear, though. People you would, need those to sing.
You have an inner ear when you perform.
Yeah, if she...
So if she wasn't given she wasn't
one... planning on...
All of this is a mess.
I don't care.
I feel like the Grammys don't need any more messes.
Yeah.
Just a weird situation, you guys.
Yep.
I didn't like reading that.
Yeah, we didn't really address all that Grammy stuff because I think it had happened on a weekend and then we came back, but, like, it's a mess over there.
Oh, it's still going.
Yeah.
It's just begun.
The show's still on? You mean?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. I wouldn't be shocked.
Guys, some birthdays for you. Patton Oswalt, Alan Cumming, Keith Olbermann, and from Jimmy Kimmel Live, Guillermo Rodriguez.
Oh, love.
How do we not have that job?
Such a sweet guy.
I love that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Good dude.
And congratulations to our grand prize winner for Wheels Up
Trip number one, mm-hmm. Pearl Jam at Hyde Park in London.
So good.
I'm going to try and say this name right. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen.
Good luck.
Nicole Alvarez.
Tracy Cadwallader.
You definitely did not nail
No, Tracy you nailed.
Yes, I got that point.
Spell it out.
She's from Beaumont.
Spell it out for me.
C-A-D-W-A-L-L-A-D-E-R.
Cadwallader. We both have two different things.
Congratulations to Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy C.
Yep.
Can I see it?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's not an easy.
Cadwallader. Cadwallader.
I mean, you're looking at it and starting trouble.
Tracy Cadwallader, right?
Yes.
From Beaumont. Give a call right now.
No, we don't need to call.
Tracy, you won. You're fine. You don't need to call.
Won the trip to London to see Pearl Jam.
That's a big deal.
So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
The news, it turns out, can suck.
Oh, yeah, this weekend especially.
And that's why on Monday mornings we bring you.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. But we'll try to make that feeling go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Not sure there's been a day, a Monday, where we need this more. So I'm happy that we can get these stories out and about to change up the feeling a little.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of a few unruly kids and maybe a bully or two, right, you'd assume that when you take a job as an elementary school bus driver.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it stinks, mm-hmm. but you're kind of, it's a tame thing. You're not facing too much at that age. Well, Paulette Rossi from Eastern Ontario, Canada, said she was acting on pure instinct when she had to save 7 kids from a burning bus within seconds.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
When she noticed a little bit of black smoke coming from the back of her bus, she knew she didn't have long since she had just refilled it with gas earlier that morning. And when there's any car on fire, you know, it's obviously a huge possibility that's going to blow up. The 61-year-old hurried 7 children off the bus, and right as the last student was safely accounted for, the vehicle went up in flames.
Wow.
Completely exploded. Yeah. We'll post the bus now on our Twitter, at Kevin Mornings. It's basically burnt to a crisp. You'll see it looks like there are no survivors. It's bonkers, and it shows what would have happened had she not turned into this hero. And no one was injured. And not only that, and this is the part of the story that blew my mind, kids were got home within 10 minutes of their time that they usually are delivered. She not only saved them, got them into another bus, and delivered them home only 10 minutes late. I was like, that seems more like a heroic mission than anything else. She's being heralded as a hero, but she says the evacuation training she was taught by the school district is actually what saved the children, and she hopes that it makes people more persistent about their own lives, about leaving lights on or your fireplace on or whatever it is. She's very awesome, and in an interview, she wanted to make sure parents of the kids that were on the bus know where her priorities lie.
Kids are a priority, so the first thing is always their safety.
The kids have a very cool story for the rest of their lives as well. I mean, I would tell everyone. I was on
a bus. Amazing.
I jumped off. It exploded. I mean, it's basically an action movie. But what a hero this Paulette Rossi is. And school bus drivers don't get enough credit, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's why I picked it as my great news.
Wouldn't you as a kid be milking that?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm Kurt Russell. Oh, what? Now I'm in that
I don't know why that's happening.
Oh,
it's great news.
And then
thank you.
Off.
But I did. I would tell people that I'm basically John Wick.
Well, not only that, but when a teacher's like, "Hey, where's your assignment, dude?"
It was
my
in the
bus. Caught on fire.
That is good.
Like every time your parents are like, "Hey, did you clean your room? Don't you remember I almost died?"
Right. I was in a bus fire.
Yeah, that's what I would do because I'm an awful human being. Guys, we've all lost a wallet. We've discussed it on the show.
Yeah,
your wife just
wife lost
one
wallet,
recently.
Yeah.
You basically have to chalk it up to it's gone.
Yeah.
Get
I
up.
Now have to call, get all new credit card. God, I have mm-hmm. to go to the DMV. Are you kidding me? Well, this is what happened to a woman in Philadelphia named Kayla. She returned home from a convenience store. It was a Wawa. And she realized she left her wallet there, but it wasn't just like a small wallet. It was one of those like wristlet wallets.
Mm-hmm.
It had a key to her house in it. It had all of her credit cards. It had cash. And it had her driver's license. So she's like, ugh.
It's the worst.
This is the worst feeling in the world. But she did wind up calling the store.
I called the store to see if anyone had turned it in. And they said no. So I kind of just gave up. I thought someone stole it.
The next day, she says her view of humanity flipped upside down.
Her missing wallet was missing no more. It was inside her mailbox just blocks from the Wawa.
Nothing was touched, not a penny was gone.
But more importantly, she says, was a note left on top of the wallet. It reads, quote, I found your wallet at the parking lot at Tyson and Brouse at 5:30 a.m. on August 1st walking by. My name is Jim. I am homeless. I hang out at McDonald's at Cottman Ave, end quote.
Wow.
So she sees this note.
By the way, that reporter's a robot. He's definitely a robot.
Like, he couldn't even make Wawa sound fun. Yeah.
He genuinely has the exact opposite voice than me.
Like, I am homeless. Yeah. Can you play that part?
Just my name is Jim. Like, I am homeless.
Like, it is the worst reading of a really lovely note.
I don't remember. I'm not sure.
It reads, quote, I found your wallet at the parking lot at Tyson and Brouse at 5:30 a.m. on August 1st walking by. My name is Jim. I am homeless. I hang out at McDonald's.
I am homeless.
End quote.
What is happening with that guy?
Oh, my God. This is terrible.
So Kayla does what I would hope most of us would do. She went to that McDonald's and asked around for Jim, met him, and he said, listen, it was the right thing to do. I saw that you live near here. I just walked over, put it in the mailbox. I think it's what everybody would do. And sadly, Jim, it's not what everyone would do. And you should be commended for being a lovely human being. And that's why it's my great news.
Did I miss that she gave him something in return?
Yeah, I didn't see it in the story.
Oh, Allie! That's not great news at all.
I think she's a real bitch.
I mean, Allie's part of it was great news. Then Jensen jumped in.
Let's focus on Jim.
That's an incredible bitch.
Oh, come on. She's got to give money. You were so lucky. You were like, oh, no one asked.
I'm like, hey, Kevin, what's yours? Do you got something?
Also, my bus driver was a Nazi. Just throw that in at the end. No, she was very nice. She was a very sweet
Let's
woman.
Just assume that she...
Yes, she went there. She did. She went to visit him. I mean, I'm sure she gave him something.
Okay, all right. My great news is Kamalu Rosa, on the shores of Waikiki, he recently met a woman named Stephanie. She has cerebral palsy.
Uh-huh.
And she's unable to walk, but she has always wanted to surf. That, to her, that seems like the ultimate thing. And he says, I can help with that. If I have the opportunity to make somebody's day and help them in the ocean, take them surfing, I try to seize the moment. So he grabbed his surfboard. He went out near the water. He came back. He picked up Stephanie, walked back to the surfboard, put them both on the surfboard, and took her surfing.
Nice. Hmm.
And they were just out there having the time of their lives. He said it brought us both tears out there. She was excited and happy. It touched everybody in the ocean, in that part of the ocean. It was an unbelievable experience. And then mine continues, Allie, because I have great news all the way through the end of my story.
Is it about Kayla at the Wawa?
Did she get money? Do you know?
Kayla lost her wallet at the Wawa.
I am Jim.
This is this guy's deal now. His goal is to help people. Just one person on one person. I can take someone surfing if that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm that guy that'll help. 2 years ago, he helped a man without legs learn to surf.
Without legs? How does he balance?
I don't know. Huh. I don't know. But it's this guy's thing.
It's very sweet.
I love it.
It's just one-on-one helping people who need what he already has.
And so many people who do surf consider it like their therapy, like in the morning going. I mean, it's a zen moment.
Yeah, and he looks like he's in his early 20s. I mean, he's very young.
Wow.
And this is just his thing, to try and help people who can't get out in the ocean.
There are great charities like Life Rolls On, a walk on water surf therapy that do this, and they have events like every weekend they do this. It's an amazing thing that people who think, oh, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you can, because there are amazing men and women that will help you. So you get to experience
that
same
thing.
Yeah,
guy with no legs is surfing,
right?
Come on, man, you can surf.
Yesterday was a pretty crappy day.
Yeah.
Especially here in Los Angeles. I sort of feel like Kobe equals Los Angeles. That's sort of how I felt when I saw that.
I don't think any athlete has ever represented the city as much, and I'm not sure any athlete will ever represent it more in the future.
It was a complete bummer, and during the day they would ask other players what they thought, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, his response was quite moving.
To Kobe's family, I want to send my most sincere and heartfelt regrets and prayers, and my thoughts are with you guys. Kobe was an incredible family man. He loved his wife and daughters. He was an incredible athlete, and a leader in a lot of ways. He inspired a whole generation of young athletes. He was one of the first ones to leave high school and come to the NBA and do so well, dominating the game and becoming one of the best scorers that the Los Angeles Lakers has ever seen. I had the privilege of being there when he scored his 81-point game, and it was something that I will always remember as one of the highlights of the things that I have learned and observed in sports. Rest in peace, young man. This loss is... It's just hard to comprehend. Go with God.
It's hard to comprehend.
Yeah, he Kareem Abdul-Jabbar really put it in perfect words.
Yeah.
I mean, he really. I mean, I remember when that popped up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I was like, I love Kareem, and he's a writer, you know, by trade at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it is startling, and we've been talking about it all morning. But we're just so used to him being not human. You know what I mean? So
yeah, he was superhuman.
He did the unthinkable.
Yes.
You know,
every time
you doubted him. It was like he went further. I mean, his last game, he scored like, you know, some
60 points.
60 points.
Yeah,
it's like
crazy.
You are used to him defying odds, and then to see him human.
Of course, it's dumb to say that.
No, but it's true.
It's to see him human. But like, of course he's human, but
I don't know if it's of course. I mean, in all of LA, we believed this icon, you know,
yeah,
love or hate him. It was like this was untouchable. He was a protected, incredible in basketball. And you forget that he was a family man sometimes, even like he was just a robot of basketball.
Yeah.
And then to have it end in such a tragic way was devastating.
Also bring up who else was on that plane.
Yes.
Because not only Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. but his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, her basketball teammate, Alyssa Altobelli, her father, John Altobelli, her mother, Carrie Altobelli, he was a baseball coach at Orange Coast College and beloved.
And he was like the Kobe Bryant of community college baseball. He 700 wins. I mean, tons of championships. Incredible.
And parents to two other kids that are now missing, their mom, their dad, and their sister. A woman named Christina Mauser, who's a basketball coach at nearby Harbor Day School in Orange County, the school that Gigi Bryant had attended, who is leaving behind husband and two children. A middle school student named Peyton Chester and her mother, Sarah Chester, and the pilot, Ara Zobian, who... people are writing about this man who also taught people how to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Just by all accounts, just one of the funniest, most loving men. So there were 9 people on that plane, and I don't want that plane, sorry, helicopter. And I don't want that to be lost in this as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
But we will take your calls on what did Kobe mean to you? What did you have an interaction with him? Did you
or
just
not.
Have a
or
moment
just, yeah,
that
just
you remember?
Yeah, a moment you remember, yeah.
And we have a friend of the show, Brian, on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
It's kind of heavy and brutal, but I have a story about my interaction with Kobe that I think kind of highlights a thing that was underrated about him, and that was his sense of humor.
Yeah.
Back in 2013, I was working on a radio show in Seattle, and the Richard Sherman softball game was up there. And I, for some dumb reason, applied to be like a correspondent. Like, we weren't going to play any of that stuff on our show because, you know, the Top 40 show. And they put me on the sideline, and I told my co-host, hey, guys, I'm going to be interviewing all these famous people at the Richard Sherman softball game. And, of course, they're not going to let me just interview people, so they're going to, you know, make it awful for me. So we took we took the questions from fans and, you know, or from the audience, like, you know, questions like, what do you do with hot dog water after you cook hot dogs? And like,
excellent.
Oh, the hard-hitting questions.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Journalism.
Right. Yeah.
Just absolutely torture me. And so my whole bit was like, I was going to go act super nervous, I was going to harness my inner Zach Galifianakis in between two ferns, just make it super weird. And so I'm down on the sideline at the game. I have no idea who's coming out for the celebrity softball game. I'm assuming, you know, Richard Sherman, probably Macklemore, a bunch of Seattle guys, Sean Kemp.
Sure.
And the first player up to bat who I'm supposed to mess with, out of the dugout walks Kobe Bryant. And all of my confidence of being the awkward, weird dude completely melts. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get a question out, and I'm stuttering, and I'm like, and I'm just, my eyes are huge. I'm shocked. I've never been in the presence of Kobe Bryant, and he has a presence. Like,
yeah.
You feel him, just the confidence, the look. And I'm stuttering to get a question out, And he just goes, "It's all right, man. Don't be so nervous." And gave me like a little bro hug and walked off to take his, you know, his at bat. And the rest of the entire game, the bit crumbled. It was awful. And he kept winking at me every time he walked by. And he's like, "You better yet?" And I felt like in the presence of that dude to see his sense of humor when I don't know if he knew if I was doing a bit or if he just really, truly felt awful for me for stuttering through a question. But, man, I'll never forget that.
He can sense that you were in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, also, if anything, one genius recognized another. You know what I mean?
Brian? Is that where we're going?
Thank you.
I think Kobe was like, "Abort, abort, stop, dude."
He was like, "Stop trying to shake my hand, dude. Let go of me."
Got to go up to bat.
You were the New York Knicks of this situation. He was the Lakers. Yeah.
Thank you for your call, Brian. We appreciate you taking the time to tell us that. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Yeah. Remembering Kobe Bryant.
You don't have to have met him. Like, it just, whatever it means to you and your family, or a memory you have that will live on forever from this incredible larger-than-life sports figure.
We are taking calls from people on what Kobe Bryant meant to them. Melissa is on the line from Fullerton. Good morning, Melissa.
Yes, thank you. I was about, I'll say like 8 years old, and I went to the movies with my dad at the Block of Orange, and he was there with his wife, you know, and he was walking out, and, you know, he signed my dad's shirt. Just really nice man, but, you know, I was little, and he was just, you know, the tallest man I've ever met to this day, you know. So I'm really sad for him and his family, and I just wish them the best, and, you know. So that was my interaction, and it was a big moment I had with my dad.
I'm sure. So. I'm sure. And
there's, nice. Thank you, Melissa.
I even thought myself, like, with my dad, and, you know, my dad's been passed now for, I think, 10 years. But, you know, being basketball fans or sports fans in L.A.,
yeah.
I mean, I think like 70% of our conversations were about Kobe Bryant, and we were Clippers fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no way to avoid every call of between us going, "Is this real? You know, is he doing this?" Like, that happened dozens
Many,
of times
yeah,
between
it's crazy.
Us. Yeah.
My parents moved back east in 2008. Neither here nor there, but it was dominating the news there, which, you know, the biggest rivalry, New yeah. England. Like, New England hates Kobe with a passion. Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the radio voice of the Celtics wrote, "We didn't think here in Boston that Kobe could break our hearts again, and we
did.
Were wrong."
I know, it was a great tweet.
And that's amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But he had an impact on everyone.
Let's go to Robert in streaming us in Portland. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Whenever I think of Kobe, I always think of L.A. I mean, I've lived up in Portland for now 7 years. And every time yesterday, just thinking about all the memories, it just brought me back to all the positive moments I had in L.A., how much you meant to me. All I could think about, like, every big Kobe moment, I could just think of where I was, who I was with. I could just think of my dad. I could think of all my best friends. There was just so much joy that he brought to me. And I could never thank him enough for that.
Absolutely.
He's just the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah, it is. And it is weird. Like, it's almost like a landmark moments, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the 80 points, the 81 points or whatever, the final shots, buzzer beaters. I mean, you remember where each of these things were, and it kind of, it's almost like a guide in basketball, at least for me. Yeah.
I don't remember the year that the Lakers were playing Portland,
mm-hmm.
and it was a disastrous game, but the Lakers came back at the end, game seven. And my favorite play is from that, and Kobe is just making the assist to Shaq. And Shaq dunks it, and everybody goes crazy. And they're like, "Wow, we actually might be able to come back."
I mean, yeah, I always remember the Shaq pointing up to which we just found
right
out recently. We just found out recently he's pointing to Shareef O'Neal. He's pointing to his son, which I didn't know. He just did that in an interview.
All right, let's go to Marin in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Of course.
You know, I'm 7 years older than Kobe, and I grew up around Huntington, and what people forget is that he's a Prince Charming around here. He met his wife when she was still in high school at Marina in Huntington. He took her to her senior prom when he was playing for the Lakers, if I remember right, mm-hmm. and he married her. And then they stayed local, and I've worked in South Orange County in the schools here, and I have countless Kobe stories from kids that just meet him in sports and around town, and he was a golden light to this community. It's hard to express how much he's going to be missed. I'm at a school, a high school in Irvine right now. I work here, and it's just sad today. Everybody feels it. This was a community member that was so bright. He shined so bright for so long, it's hard to believe he's gone.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
I just hope we can remember him that way.
Yeah, a lot of stories popped up in the last 2 days about him. Very strangely, a lot of accidents. He would get out of his car and help people who were in pretty serious accidents. And it's a situation in Huntington Beach or at some certain light where people sometimes run it and stuff. And it seems like he was very dialed in and always sort of helping the community there. So happy we got to hear from someone out there.
Imagine, though, you're getting in an accident and you look up, you what?
Yeah, it's Kobe Bryant.
What?
Yeah.
Am I hallucinating?
Yeah, is this a vision? Yeah.
So weird. All right, let's go to Jose, calling from Carson. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning, you guys.
Morning.
Hey, so I used to work at John Wayne Airport, which is where his plane was at most of the time. His helicopter. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I wasn't really paying attention, but I'm walking through, a lobby, and I bump into somebody, and I'm not really, I wasn't paying attention, so I bump into this huge dude, like this huge of a man, and I'm looking up at him. I'm 5'8". I'm not that tall. I'm not that tall. I'm kind of average, but I'm really looking up at this guy. Yeah. And at that moment, I'm like, is it Kobe? And I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to. And he was like, yeah, no problem. And he just shook my hand, and I felt like a little kid. Like, him grabbing my hand just felt like a little, like I was a little kid, and he was like this big old dude.
Yeah,
it's even the smallest moments with someone. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's like even just a bump and a handshake. It's like this dude represented a lot more to LA, and having his daughter involved in this crash. It's all so tragic, and it feels surreal to most people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Takes a long time sort of to get through it in your mind. Let's go to Andrew in Claremont. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm not actually a Kobe fan, a Laker fan, basketball fan, but you can't deny what an athlete he was and what he did for the sports and his contributions to the community around him. I think what resonated the most is that I have a 12-year-old daughter, and it really shook me yesterday realizing that we don't know how much time we have here and we shouldn't take it for granted.
Yeah.
And it's just tragic for his family and all the other families too. It makes us realize that we should really, enjoy what we have while we have it.
Yeah, they started putting up all those pictures of him and video of him on the sideline with his daughter, and they're like talking through the game, and it looks like they're breaking it down.
I don't know if you saw this. It was a meme going around that ties into this perfectly, but it says, leaving your home and coming back safely is such an underrated blessing that most of us take for granted.
That's true. Yeah.
And I morbidly thought to myself, because I think this I like to say I love you to people that matter to me every day, because I've lost people and it's just very important to me. But my morbid thought was, what if these families had a fight before they left?
Yeah.
What if somebody got mad about something so small before they left and this is their last memory? So it's a time to really take into consideration everyone in your life. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed.
No, even if you're Kobe Bryant.
Larger
than life. Like, it all sort of comes together for you in certain ways. It's very hard.
Yeah, and I had said to some friends yesterday, I'm like, things that you're holding on to that ultimately don't matter, it's not serving you.
Yeah.
No. It's not serving that other person. Maybe we start working on being better people.
Yes.
Because of the passing, all Los Angeles radio stations are going to do the same thing. They're going to run a minute of silence and tribute to Kobe Bryant at 12 noon. So every single radio station in Los Angeles.
Very difficult to put together, considering everyone's from different companies and quote-unquote competition, but everyone, 1 minute, 8 seconds.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Coming up in the next hour, comedian Russell Peters joins us.
Yep.
Nice.
Right now, at 10 till each hour, we dig.
You did it.
Yeah, I'll do it again. Right now, at 10 till...
No, you know what? Let it sit, man.
Just leave it.
The music started... Allie's got papers in front of her.
But I don't know what I do at 10
to
the hour.
That's true. You do have to
tell her. I know what's happening here.
Okay. No, that's what she says.
Guys, we talked about this last year when they picked Alicia Keys to host the Grammys. None of us really knew what to expect. And then she did the show last year, and we all fell deeply in love with Alicia Keys. Yeah. She has such a spirit about her, and she's so genuine.
Yeah, that's
and
what
she's
I love.
So charming, and there's such a joy that comes out of every pore. She's just, you watch her and you're like, that's goodness. Yeah. That is just goodness. And I'll tell you this, they couldn't have been luckier to have her as the host last night, because Common said it. He said, there's no one better to be hosting this than a woman that has so much heart. And the way that, I mean, she was tasked with a very awful way to open a show, because she has to bring light to the fact that this is the home that Kobe built. This is the Staples Center. You're all thinking about Kobe. Before it was, you were all thinking about Nipsey, because this is where he's from. This is where his funeral was. There were so many things tied in to just the location of Staples Center.
Yeah.
And the way she handled the opening of the Grammys was, it was a beautiful thing.
But to be honest with you, we're all feeling crazy sadness right now. Because Los Angeles, America, and the whole wide world lost a hero. And we're literally standing here heartbroken in the house that Kobe Bryant built. Right now, Kobe and his daughter Gianna and all of those that have been tragically lost today are in our spirit. They're in our hearts, they're in our prayers, they're in this building. And I would like to ask everybody to take a moment and just hold them inside of you, hold them inside of you, and share our strength and our support with their families. We never imagined in a million years we'd have to start the show like this. Never, 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 never.
That is so well said.
I want Alicia Keys' phone number for whenever I'm going through something.
Yeah.
That is the most calming voice that just, she's such a beautiful human being.
Yeah, that is a hosting predicament that is a nightmare.
Oh, you wouldn't wish that on
I'm sure they had a whole different
cold open, yeah.
Yeah, cold open, yeah. Like for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden switch it up. That's crazy.
Yeah. It is a task no one wants, and she did an incredible job. I mean, because remember, they had to walk through the red carpet and all that stuff was kind of canceled because there were tons of Kobe fans, you know, they're coming down to Staples to celebrate Kobe. It is a very hard thing to do, and she nailed it.
Absolutely. Boys to Men joined her on stage, and they did a rendition of It's So Hard to Say Goodbye. And it was just, it was the perfect way
it was perfectly
to
done.
Handle it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a big night for our girl, Billie Eilish, who won the big four, they're saying. Record of the year, album of the year, best new artist, and song of the year all went to Billie Eilish. And
that was in the fifth hour of the show, so maybe you didn't stick around for it.
It was. She also won best pop vocal album as well. So five Grammys last night. And she was genuinely shocked every single time. And then it was, she's 18.
Yeah.
She was embarrassed. At one point, she was like, okay, thank you. I get it. Please, please stop.
She didn't know what to do. Yeah.
She didn't know what to do. And she was just lovely up there receiving those awards. Congratulations to her. And of course, Phineas, her brother. And when she said, she's like, you guys, we wrote this in our bedroom of our house that we grew up in. This shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
It was amazing. A lot of other K-Rock artists won as well. You didn't see it on the award ceremony. They were given their awards beforehand. But Best Alternative Music Album, Father of the Bride by Vampire Weekend. And Best Rock Album, Social Cues by Cage the Elephant.
Love
Excellent.
It.
Excellent. Of course, you can get the whole list of winners wherever you find lists of winners.
I can't do everything for you.
I can't do everything. You guys, come on.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm. You don't care? Ray J, you don't care?
I don't care.
All right. Mm-hmm. Weird. Kevin.
Yes.
Is this story for you?
Yes.
Pop-Tarts has teamed up with Good Humor to create Pop-Tarts brown sugar cinnamon bars.
Come on.
Crunchy looking outside, much like the Good Humor creations, but instead of inside being strawberry shortcake, the crunchies are bits of brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts layered with vanilla ice cream and what appears to be cinnamon ice cream. Kevin,
I need that right
now. Pop-Tarts made into ice cream flavors in an easily eaten Good Humor style bar. You ready?
Where is it available?
I mean, check out Good Humor's website to see where they can be purchased.
Oh, I have that as a bookmark.
Do you have that?
Yeah,
okay, yeah, he's looking
the
it up
Good
right
Humor
now.
Website. Yeah,
look it up wherever they tell you where stuff is sold.
Yeah, frequent site I go to.
And then something for Christine, because she is a Jameson kind of gal.
Mm-hmm.
Jameson is releasing Jameson Cold Brew, a whiskey blended with the taste of cold brew coffee. Yes, please, get in my gullet. That sounds fantastic. It's made to be enjoyed in an espresso martini or on its own poured directly into a glass of cold brew. That sounds really good, you guys. Drink it. That was also my ASMR. Did you enjoy that?
I guarantee you people did, yeah.
Hey, how much would you pay for one of Frank Sinatra's four golden toilets?
That is a great question I think about all the time. Let me check the Good Humor website.
So often.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. His chairman suite at the Golden Nugget Hotel in Atlantic City has put these four gold top toilets up for auction.
Okay.
They were estimated to have cost up to $30,000 when new.
Okay. So now I'm buying a used toilet.
You're buying a used
Which,
toilet.
Is there a market for that?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely on eBay.
Frank Sinatra's butt cheeks have been on this?
Yeah, that's why
extra.
I'm not paying for that.
Imagine how much Elvis's goes for. That's the one he died on.
Yeah.
It was 30 new.
They're in good condition.
Good condition, but has been pooped in. I will say they're going to go for $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
I will say $250,000.
$250?
No, just $2.50.
Kevin, you're closer.
So way less than what they paid?
Yes.
Because it's been pooped and I should have thought of this.
$4,000.
That's it?
$30,000 when new, which was quite a while ago.
Yeah, sure. Inflation would have pushed it up.
Guys, that's just sad.
So basically, these people are just going to turn it in. They're going to melt it down.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's so weird.
That's sad.
That is incredible, and it proves that poop and pee will lessen the value of anything.
Which we didn't need to know was
true.
Now
I mean,
is that assumed it was.
Is that a thing?
I've always thought it.
Yeah, sure.
But now it's true.
Yeah, now it's science.
I mean, it's always been true.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But now it's
true to me. Now it's for sure. It's written down.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Guillermo Rodriguez. You know him from Jimmy Kimmel Live. Patton Oswalt, Alan Cumming, Keith Olbermann. All of you, happy day to you. And that
we welcome to the studios comedian Russell Peters.
Yay!
Hey guys,
how are you, sir?
Hello.
You know, it's a
perfect day.
Perfect day to be a comedian.
You know what? I'm driving and I go, do I really need to go? I mean, I think we could reschedule this if you want, guys. I really have no problem with that.
Russell, we are happy you're here.
Yes. Russell walked in and said, you guys are really funny today.
one of your funniest.
Hey, I was man, you're hilarious this morning.
the
levity in the room, guys.
You live in Calabasas.
I do.
So basically right around that exit, right?
It was one exit after me. I mean, I could take that exit too, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's right there.
It's so weird.
It was trippy.
Yeah.
And I had just gotten home maybe 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes after it happened. So I just knew that a helicopter went down. I didn't actually know what would happen.
Yeah.
And I could see the smoke, and I'm like, oh, that's no good. And I was thinking, oh, there's going to be a brush fire now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you would think. And you're wearing a sweatshirt that has been sort of, it's the Raptors logo that has been turned into your logo, it
that
seems.
That is correct.
Are you a basketball dude?
I'm not at all.
Oh, not into it.
Not at all. But
you're into hip hop. They usually go hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you did there. You just connected black people. And that's,
I'm both. I'm a huge hip hop guy, and I love basketball.
And he's black, so it's perfecta.
What?
Yep. Is he?
Wait, what?
I
don't know if your body doesn't know about it. I'm a combat sports guy. I don't like team sports at all. So.
Yeah, you're an MMA guy.
Yeah, boxing
and boxing,
MMA. Yeah. So I'll go for that side of it.
Sure, sure.
He's
similar.
Like, it's just a sweatshirt, dude. Stop talking about my sweatshirt.
Well, no, I did this just to sell it. Really, I was just trying to jump on the
Toronto. Yeah.
We won, Toronto won.
Yeah,
I like how you said we.
Well, I'm Canadian. You know,
sure.
And I'm from Toronto. So that's my, you know. If I was a basketball fan, I would obviously have to support Toronto.
Sure.
Sure.
Is it because of Drake?
Yes, that's the reason I do everything.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that you don't support him.
No. I really like Drake as a person. He's a great kid.
Yeah. As a former 13-year-old girl.
No. As a person, I've known the kid 11 years. He's a really great kid.
How do you meet like Drake, you guys both coming up in Toronto? Is it like he's like, you're famous, I'm going to be famous?
Well, he, you know, a lot of these kids that came out. I've been doing
this. You're not old. You keep saying kids.
Well,
like,
I'm 50 years old. I mean,
sorry.
These guys are like 29 years old. They're younger than my career.
Okay.
My career's 31, you know, so. Well, you know, they come up to me and they're like, oh, man, when I was making this album, I used to listen to you and watch you on YouTube. And I go, why don't you follow me on Instagram, man?
Or shout me out.
I have a follow-up question.
Can I get a shout-out, guys?
To Jensen's question, which is, how did you and Drake get meet? Which you never answered.
I don't really know. It's through a friend of mine did a movie with him, and then they were talking, and then he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of Russell's. And then he goes, yeah, he's one of my best friends, and then connected us. And then Drake and I ended up doing a movie together like 10 years ago. And then, you know, we see him around. We live in the same neighborhood, but, you know, he's got security outside of his house, so I can't be like, I'm a friend from back home.
You're going to have to trust me on that.
Is Aubrey home? I'm here.
You can watch the comedy special, Russell Peters.
How's that working out for you?
It's not
good.
First day with a mouth.
Russell Peters.
Russell P. Girls.
That's a very different video.
Yeah, that's the wrong guy. I don't sing.
Russell Peters, Deported is the name of the special on Amazon Prime. He is here in the world famous K-Rock. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back. Russell Peters in the studio with us.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
His new special was shot in Mumbai.
Yes.
Yeah, that's in downtown India.
Yes. I am.
Downtown India.
Is it something that you are a very global comedian. You travel tons internationally. But is that something you're nervous about? Things translating, the reaction from the crowd being different?
I mean, you got to consider it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've also performed. I mean, I've also performed there in the past. Mm-hmm. And I know what they're capable of as an audience.
How is it different?
It's not that different. They're pretty sharp. But I found that in that room that we shot it in, because it was a much bigger... It's more of an arena type of place.
Yeah, it was massive, yeah.
And I feel like some of the energy was getting lost in the top of the ceiling. And a lot of people, being Indian, they were trying to be respectful of the taping.
Right.
So they would laugh, but they wouldn't like really lose their stuff.
Oh, there's no respectful of the taping here.
No, I know.
That's not a thing.
Oh, man, I shot a special in 2006 in San Francisco. And on the second taping that night, they got hammered. The audience was hammered and somebody puked while I was doing my set.
Oh, my God.
And, it got better. That? Then somebody got up to take the puking person out of the room and slipped and wiped out the puke. I was like, oh, great. Here's some footage we're not going to use.
It's difficult to beat that in humor, too. I realized you did crowd work pretty early in the special.
Right away.
That's what I do.
And I wondered, they react exactly how you want them to.
Yeah.
But is that the way it is worldwide? I mean, is every place is fine being
It works everywhere?
It works. I mean,
I would think
me,
there'd be some place where people just get angry.
What, when you talk to them?
Yeah.
Well, when you call a guy, you said you look like sperm to a dude because he was wearing all white.
I mean, he did. He was in all white.
I mean, it's accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was the fastest guy there.
Well, but, like, does it ever turn into something different? No.
No. You know, I mean, they could. You could see the look in my eyes. You could hear the tone in my voice.
It's not malicious.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
Plus, they know they're going to a comedy show, so they sort of expect stuff like that to happen, I assume.
Except for on the first taping... The first night when we were taping, there was a guy in the front row, and I started talking to him. And I'm like, wow, this guy's kind of being a dick, right? Because I'm, like, talking to him, and he's, like, giving me really short answers and, like, looking at me funny. And I'm like, you're in the front row, like, dead center. And I'm like, what's your name? He's like, huh? And I'm like, oh, come on, don't be that guy. And then he pulls out his hearing aid.
No!
And I go, nice. Sorry, man. Sorry about that. My fault.
He's in a
and I was like, and I literally said to him, I go... But you got the best seat in the house.
It's so we could see your lips.
Apparently,
probably.
That was why.
He needs it.
So then I meet him after the show, because I did a little meet and greet, and then I meet him after the show, and he's like, oh, I'm such a big fan. And I'm like, where...
Where were you an hour ago? You
were in the front row. Why didn't you tell the rest of your face this?
I
mean...
I love it. Well, now, you have a very interesting background. You're doing boxing.
I used to box.
Yeah, but...
I do jiu-jitsu now.
Jiu-jitsu. Are you a Gracie guy?
I'm a Machado guy, which is a Gracie cousin. They're all family.
You also DJ.
35 years.
Well, I mean, you do it all.
Wait,
you're,
okay,
you're like
hold
a
on.
Bastion.
Toronto DJing.
Yeah.
Is this mean you like DJed hip hop or did you DJ parties and bar mitzvahs and stuff?
Yeah,
or
that's
both?
What I was doing. I was you're playing like hip hop. I was starting in 85. I was 15. I was I was like I was breakdancing and then it kind of ended and I was like, how am I still going to hear this music?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only way I'm going to hear it is if I play it. So I started buying like doubles of my first doubles was the Dougie Fresh.
Nice.
Fresh Crew, the Lottie Don, the show.
The show, yeah.
You kept breakdancing alive.
I did not.
Nicely
I just
done.
Kept the DJing part alive. Breakdancing, I'm so glad I'm not breakdancing now because these kids are insane.
It was just us with a piece of cardboard.
Yeah,
back
we were
then.
Doing very simple things. Yeah. Like a windmill or a headspin was like the most impressive thing you could do back then. Now these guys have incorporated everything into one move. I don't know how they've done
it. Yeah, they look like the Matrix. why didn't you ever rhyme? Why didn't you ever rap?
Oh, I listen to my voice. Is this the kind of voice you want to hear rapping?
Listen to that voice.
Didn't stop me from doing it.
Yeah, no, I listen. I sound ridiculous. I know what I sound like. I want to hear this guy rapping. I'd be like, get him. I already don't like my voice talking. Never mind rapping.
Oh, I wish this was my inner monologue.
Yeah.
Instead, I just went full force.
Did you actually have a rapping career?
I was signed Interscope.
What was your name?
It was Hot Carl.
Yes, it was.
I was a battle rapper, so it made sense at the time.
Hot Carl?
Yeah, it was like 2000. It was like when those jokes would work. It was like me and the Bloodhound Gang on Interscope.
Yeah, I remember Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, you don't remember me.
Hot Carl.
No.
I just thought that was a move.
And what ended your career?
Hot
I mean, a
Carl?
Lot of stuff. Yeah, the name. I had songs with Redman and Fabulous and DJ Quick and a bunch of guys you would have liked. And then
you only named off one that I would have liked.
Really? Redman.
Oh, Redman,
DJ Quick's great. You have to be.
DJ Quick's a really nice guy.
Yeah, and he's a great producer. Anyway, point is, it didn't work out. I'm not famous from rapping at all.
Maybe you change your name.
Maybe.
You were telling me that Eminem came along and it was
didn't
like,
help
oh,
me.
That does not help.
Did not help, no. Yeah. A bunch of us, Bubba Sparks, a lot of guys on Interscope were together and we were like, oh, that's the end.
Well, Bubba Sparks had like a good song and
he had
that
a
was
bop.
It.
Yeah, Ugly was great.
Yeah.
And a great
have
second.
Have you seen him now? He's like,
he's great
like Diesel
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
And he has, married like, this really
Miss
hot
Universe,
girl.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Quite a second life for Bubba Sparks.
Every time I meet a chubby white guy, I call him Bubba Sparks or Haystack.
Haystack. Good.
I like it.
Question about that for you. The beginning of the special talks about you gaining weight. I don't think you gained that much weight, dude.
Well, because you can't see it because I've lost.
But you really were like.
I went up to 240 pounds.
That would be big for you.
Yeah. I'm only 5'11.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I went up to 230 for the same reason. It was taking medication.
Right.
230. I'm at 175 now.
Yeah. But no, he wasn't taking it once you got on it.
Once I got on the medication, I'd start dropping the weight. What did you have?
I don't remember. Some kind of steroid or something. But it basically.
Oh, you were on. They put you on that.
Basically, they tell you, here's your medication. Mm-hmm. You're going to get fat.
They gave you prednisone.
Yes. One of them. That's one of them,
Oh, yeah. No,
And there's literally nothing
you
can do.
Where you went to the doctor and you're like, why am I fat? I do that constantly. And I keep telling them it's my thyroid, and it keeps not being my thyroid.
Well,
and
what,
I think it's BS.
Is it your mouth?
Yeah. I just keep eating. Yeah. It's
you're
BS.
Not fat, though. I'm looking at you.
Come on.
You're not fat.
I could be better.
I mean, we could all
everyone
lose
could be
listen,
better.
Let's talk
be
about it off the air. No,
I mean,
for like
listen,
hours.
You're never going to be hot, Carl. But, I mean.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
It's beyond, please.
One of your takeaways from being fat, though, was that your head doesn't lose weight. I can relate to that.
Yeah, my head's finally starting to lose some of it, but because my doctor put me on different medication. Mm-hmm. She was like, this will help with your head.
I need that medication. Girl. What's it called? Yeah. I need it.
Your head's fine. You got a skinny
please.
Head.
Please.
No, it's a large noggin.
He has
so
a large
I
noggin.
Think it's all proportion with your face.
It's like an ice cream cone, you know?
Is that
what? For Kevin, that's great.
Yeah,
for
me,
that's
comes
the ultimate
down,
compliment.
But then it goes up, you know, like, but like a two scooper.
You do make the mention that there is nothing to do. Like people, like I remember when Jonah Hill lost a bunch of weight originally, he still had kind of big Jonah Hill head. There's nothing you can do to sort of lessen
well,
your
now
head.
Now we know there's a pill.
Well, that's what you're saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know,
I need the
it's
name
a thyroid
of it.
Medication.
I need to lessen my head.
I know. I wish I had it before the special. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I think you look good. I mean, that was the thing. I was like, he's doing this for comedy. He looks great.
It was a snazzy
I have
suit.
Pictures. I'll show you a picture when I was much fatter.
Huh.
This works really well on the radio.
Let me tell you how good this is going to work on radio, guys. who out there is driving and wants to see a picture of my big fat head?
We'll tweet it. Add Kevin.
I thought I was watching it. I was like, this is like, this. He's just making this up.
Yeah,
he's never,
that was when I...
He was much bigger.
I was much bigger.
But you were still doing MMA while that weight?
That's when I started jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you cut to, hey, jiu-jitsu made me lose weight.
Yeah, lost weight there. Wait, would you beat Kevin James?
No, you know, I heard Kevin James is a beast.
That's what I've heard.
I've heard he's a beast, dude.
Do you want to challenge him here?
No. No, because I also heard he's not very nice when he rolls with you.
Oh, really? He doesn't hold any punches back.
No, he does not. And wow. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy now. I mean, you know, I'm not boxing anymore. I'm not trying to get punched in the face anymore.
Who's your MMA guy? Who do you...
I've rolled with Joe Rogan before.
Yeah.
And it's like rolling with a gorilla.
Yeah.
It's literally like rolling with a silverback.
The monster.
And he's a black belt and I'm a blue belt. So there's a disparity.
How much difference is that?
I'm a blue belt with some stripes. So I'm like about 2.5 belts behind him.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But I also am about 17 years behind him. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. as far as experience goes.
Do you then eat elk after?
I have asked him for elk. Yeah. He promised DMT. Me elk, and yeah. He's not.
He has promised me elk.
He's promised me elk.
He's promised me elk. He says, I've got a freezer full. Come and grab my meat. And I said, I don't know if this is elk or not.
All right. Russell Peters is in the studio with us. Why are you
struggling with my name, Kevin?
It's a hard name.
You know, it's one of those really ethnic names.
My word box isn't working, whatever you call that. Do we have time for 60 seconds?
Yeah, please.
I'll call you Hot Carl if you want. Yeah.
We're going to do something called 60 seconds. Just okay. Top of mind, whatever.
I call that sex.
Oh. Sorry. If you could join the cast of any TV show, past or present, which would you choose?
Good Times.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
It is beautiful.
Do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard?
It is strange.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
Probably a chimpanzee.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
I probably would want to be that chimpanzee.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger that you pass in the street?
60 seconds is about my sex life.
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Hell to them, no.
What was your first job?
KFC.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You can only bring one album to a deserted island. Which one?
Can it be like a greatest hits?
Sure.
Steely Dan's greatest hits.
Did not expect a Steely Dan answer.
Not that at all.
Nope.
Okay. You can only eat one food for the rest of your life. What
Pizza.
Would it be?
Really? Pizza's a great choice, yeah.
Would you rather be friends with a guy named Chuck or a guy named Guy?
Chuck.
Same.
Good answer.
Same.
Good answer.
I have two Chucks in my life.
Yeah. You do?
Chuck Zito and Chuck Liddell. Both
there you go.
Two guys again that could beat my ass.
Right?
This is insane.
Beat mine too. Don't feel bad.
All right. Check out
Thank you. I definitely go by that, not Carl. Yes.
Check out the comedy special. It's Russell Peters Deported. It's on Amazon Prime right now. And then he's going to be playing Thursday, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd locally. Mm-hmm. At the Brea Improv, so Brea you can Improv. Check them out there.
Nice.
Russell, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Hey, this is Russell Peters. Kevin, did you get that? It's Russell Peters.
No.
I was your guest.
Mm-mm.
Maybe you'll remember me one day.
No.
Anyway, you're listening to him and Allie and Hot Carl on K-Rock.
Yep. That's the laugh of pity at the end is what really gets me. Thank you, Russell.
Russell Peters is not a difficult name.
No, but you found it to be.
I did find it to be. I'm not positive how that happened.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith, who did the Lakers broadcast for a long time, coming up just after the top of the hour. At 10 till every hour, Allie takes a look at what's happening.
Guys, I think we need to define residency. Like when somebody says we have a residency in Vegas... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like there should be a set amount of time that qualifies for a residency.
Okay, I want to give my... Can I give my...
I would love to hear
2 weeks. You play 2 weeks, it's a residency to me.
Is that a continual
is
2 weeks?
Is that daily?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't come... It's got to go...
Okay.
Residency to me is in a row. But really? It doesn't have to be day, but you know what I mean. They have to be in a small amount of time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I feel like this would qualify for you as a residency.
I mean, listen, in a perfect world, it's 2 months. But I'm saying in the new Vegas world, I'll give you 2 weeks.
Well, the Jonas Brothers have shared the news via Twitter and announced yesterday their upcoming residency in Las Vegas at the Park Theater at Park MGM. They said, let's get it. Let's go. We're headed to Vegas for a brand new residency at Park Theater at Park MGM, April 1st through the 18th. So that to you is a residency.
17 days.
I'll take it, yeah.
Okay.
Who's your favorite Jonas Brother?
Oh, gosh. Buggy?
Mine's Gherkin.
Yeah. Buggy is like, at first I was like, I don't really know. But then when I saw him with the guitar, like, oh my God, he could sing and play guitar.
Glarf.
Yeah.
Was my favorite.
Well, then when he had that issue.
Yeah, and the tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
I love Gherkin's. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
My guy. How about you, Kevin?
Gleb.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you like about Gleb the most, do you think?
Probably he has terrible rhythm. He can't.
Yeah.
No rhythm.
And they left him in the band. band, which is crazy.
Which is lovely.
Should never
left. Those Jonas Brothers assholes!
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun to see Gleb and Glarf and...
Gherkin.
Buggy and Gherkin all up there.
Just chilling.
Just chilling at the Park Theater. Did you see their performance at the Grammys?
I did.
Yeah?
I did not.
It was, I feel like it was maybe the most meaningless one of the night. Just was, I was like, all right, well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the Jonas Brothers.
Okay. I mean, they are very handsome.
Sure.
Well, ladies, are all of them very handsome?
I think some are more handsome than the others.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
I agree. Nick is the best looking.
Nick is the best looking.
And then the one that was standing in the middle.
Fallon.
Whichever one he is.
I thought it was Fallon.
Is the second best looking. And then the third best looking was on the far right.
So you would assume Joe, because I know that there's a Joe.
Okay.
So I would assume he's second best looking.
Yes.
And then there's the
What's happening right
third
now?
I can't remember. Kevin,
no,
thank you.
No, Kevin I think is better looking than Joe.
Oh.
No, Joe. Yeah. I just looked
him up. I know who Joe is.
Joe,
I don't know Kevin.
Yeah. It's Nick, then Joe, and then...
Kevin!
That's it. Yeah. This is real sad. Real sad, you guys. Hey! Royal watchers, get your popcorn ready. Yeah. ABC News announced this week that it's going to air a special on Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's momentous pullback from the royal family on Wednesday night.
Nope.
The same night that an investigation on Megxit wraps up on Fox. It's all royal
Megxit.
All the time, you guys.
I
can't wait to not watch both of those. I don't care at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
I want
but imagine how much trouble it must have been for them to step back from
it
their
can't
episodes.
Be easy. Yes. It
absolutely.
Is definitely
it had to be a disaster
it's
behind
the scenes.
It's
definitely historic. It's a big deal.
I want care. Them to be happy. Yeah. That's all I
Same.
Want. I think that they're a lovely couple. I mean, their son Archie, you could just nibble his little face.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. I want them to be happy and free from all those horrible British tabloids.
And yeah, I was going to say, considering they're leaving the family, one of the reasons is the press. Maybe, you know, maybe less press. Maybe we should back off.
I feel like it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, because now they're going to be, you know, signing deals for TV shows and documentaries, that type of thing. So it's going to ramp up again, but I just like them.
I don't care.
Oh, Ray J, Jesus.
I always liked Prince Harry more than the other one. Chuck? Who's his brother?
There's definitely Frank. No Prince Chuck.
I wish there was.
Yeah, well, there was Charles, which is a Chuck. Yeah, who knows?
The heck is his name?
This is where we need that guy who passed away.
He's going to be king one day.
We're all going to be king one day.
Oh, that's true.
Nick is...
William?
Joe.
Is it William?
Nick?
Nick, Joe, and Fergie. Is there a Fergie in the band?
There is a Fergie, but she divorced the guy that was on Epstein's island.
William.
Yeah, I think he's a scumbag.
Why?
Allegedly. Well, haven't you heard about the stuff with him? And I just got done saying I don't care about these people.
I don't know. I
did say that.
Is there a print?
He's a lot like his dad. Chuck! Charles!
Charles, right.
He's a lot like his dad. A little,
Is there another prince named...
Prince Richie?
Oh, my gosh. Honestly. Did I watch La Bamba again this weekend?
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I did. Absolutely. We should have a La Bamba movie night. Listeners come out and we can all like, what's the movie where you can throw toast and stuff?
Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm. Rocky Horror. We can Rocky Horror La Bamba. But instead it'll be like us with beer and then some lady will come up to us and be like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, not my first, not my last. And then we swig the beer. And then at the end we'll all be doing laundry, like hanging it up on the line and then...
Sounds fun.
Not my Richie. It'll be really good. That's how we'll end it. Everyone bobs it.
I wouldn't be against watching movies with listeners. It would be fun.
But La Bamba.
La Bamba, I'd be fine with it.
Oh, man. Oh, such a good movie. They're going to make that into a stage show, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so exciting. If you don't think I'm not going to be there every night, like to the point where
I don't think you're going to be there every night.
No, I am.
Okay.
I've already told the people.
If it's 14 days in a row, it's a residency.
Okay.
See, I don't know if I agree with that.
If you go 14 days in a row, yeah.
Well, what was your angle? When you brought it up, how long is a residency?
I feel like a residency can
be... That's too short, right?
Weekends. So a residency on a weekend should be at least 4 months.
Sort of like Blink.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
But I also think theirs was so spread out and weird.
Yeah.
that I feel like it
because
should
of
be
Travis's
every
health, that didn't
yeah
help.
That didn't help yes. But every weekend for at least 4 months is a residency, and if we're being honest, a residency should be every weekend for a year at least.
Whoa.
Yeah, listen.
No one's arguing with you.
I mean, number one, I just went, whoa.
He just said, whoa.
I just thought it was a lot.
Why did I get so mad?
I thought it was a lot. But sure, whatever you want, Allie.
It's such a wonderful life. Like, if you can live anywhere and then just fly into Vegas on Friday morning, stay the weekend, then be back with your family. You're in a great hotel room, probably getting the room service for free. Who wants a massage? I do. What a lovely time.
I mean, sounds like you want a new gig.
I really wish I was like a Gwen Stefani. I was going to say Gleb Stefani.
That is, Gleb Stefani is my favorite member of No Doubt.
What did you think of her performance last night on the Grammys?
I didn't see it.
I thought it was good.
Blake Shelton.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was
is it a country song?
It was sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a country song.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Jesus. God, Ray J. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Does he care about anything?
No, it clearly
doesn't seem
no
like it.
It's very upsetting.
You got the mustard. I'm going to help you catch up.
See? Mm. He likes condiments. Some birthdays for you. Guillermo Rodriguez from Jimmy Kimmel Live. We love him. Keith Olbermann, Alan Cumming, and Patton Oswalt. And that's...
The Kobe thing is pretty much all anyone can talk yeah or think or talk
hard
about.
Hard to do anything else.
Matt Money Smith joins us now. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, what's happening, Kev? Hey, Allie. Hey, Justin.
Hey.
What years did you do the Lakers? The pregame, the halftime?
I did 05 to 09.
05 to 09.
Got it.
Yeah, so I did the first, you know, I was kind of part of that, you know, sort of redemption tour for Kobe, right? Mm-hmm. And it culminated with the trip to the finals in 08. They lost to the Celtics, went right back in 09 and won. And my last, basically, you know, my last duty as a Laker radio host was interviewing Kobe about 90 minutes after he won that title, fulfilled all of his media obligations. And I think it just kind of spoke to, you know, how good he was with the media, that everyone was telling him, come on, let's get out of here, get back to the hotel. There's a huge party, you know, with everybody waiting for us. And he, on his own volition, came out and just kind of sat and said, no, I gotta do Laker Line with Matt and, you know, kind of talk to all the people, because I think he used to listen on the way home. And people were trying to pull him away for probably like 15 minutes. And I'd say he probably 10, 15 minutes, he just sat and chatted about what it meant and how important this championship was and kind of how much he appreciated the fans, because that was sort of, you know, the fans' connection to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, my last bit of interaction with him as an official, you know, sort of Lakers employee.
Matt, what is it you think this city, what is it that makes it so devastating? Because obviously having these family members, but there is something different about Kobe Bryant. There's something that defines our city beyond basketball. I mean, we grew up with him, obviously, coming out of high school straight to the Lakers and never leaving our team. But what is it? What is the specialness?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just said it, Jensen. We, you know, the city raised him. You know, when he was drafted, he was 17. Hmm. You know, his parents had to co-sign the contract because he wasn't an adult yet. So I think that's why. You know, you raise a child, and anybody that's a parent knows, you know, you take them for... You know, for their greats and for their flaws, for the highs and the lows, and boy, did Kobe have a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, it was a roller coaster, and I think that's why the city, you know, had that special relationship with him. Is we lived through those lows, and you know, those ardent Kobe supporters, he became a bit of a polarizing figure. Just defended him relentlessly, like he was a child.
Yeah.
And I think to see him, you know, go from a 17-year-old to a 41-year-old with four kids and finish his Laker career, and now, you know, kind of get out in the open as a parent, and anybody that's on that travel circuit would see him out at the volleyball games, at the basketball games, just like, and I think that's kind of what made him relatable, right? Is he didn't leave, he didn't hide, he was out there. And you would always hear, oh yeah, you know, I was at whatever Momentous, and I saw Kobe out there. He was out there with his daughter watching volleyball, and I think that's kind of just became an Angelino, you know, and I think everybody was excited about that prospect moving forward.
Yeah.
What do you think most people don't realize about Kobe? Because I've never, you know, had anyone that knows him. Is there anything?
Well, I didn't really know. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know him that well. I had a professional relationship with him, but I think what was different about him, and there are other athletes out there, you know, obviously the Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods comparisons are apt, but I think it's because so often, and I think this goes for anyone, whatever sort of, you know, whatever your profession is, if you're very talented at it, oftentimes you just lean on that talent. Or you lean on the opportunity and you're content with what it gives you. But Kobe was never content. You know, he was one of the most talented basketball players to have ever walked this earth. And yet he worked as though he had to fight for every minute to stay in the NBA. And I think that's so rare, right? To have that sort of determination, like, hey, I'm better than everybody, or 99.9%.
Yeah, he was gifted. He was gifted just when he stepped on the court.
Yeah.
Right. But he just busted his ass harder than anyone. And it's like, hey, not only am I better than you, but I'm outwork you. And that, you know, that does not happen a lot. You know, too often you hear stories about people that, you know, oh boy, can you only imagine if he would have applied himself, or if he would have worked harder, if he would have stayed in shape, or if he would have focused more, if he would have not done this off the court.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe was completely committed to winning every single title and every single individual accolade every single year. I think that's what kind of rubs some people the wrong way, is it was that commitment and that just sort of, you know, assassin-like approach that some people were uncomfortable with. And I think it's almost what made him, you know, more relatable.
The video that's going around right now is of him walking off the court with a blown Achilles. As someone who's around basketball and sports a lot, how impossible is that? I watch it and I don't believe what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I think it's I think it just spoke to the, you know, he knew that if he didn't take those free throws, he wasn't going to be able to come back in the game. And I think almost, I think part of it was denial, right? Like, oh no, if I just get to the free, and that's just how he operated, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're down 15 and there's 30 seconds left, and he's thinking, okay, well, if I make a three and steal, we'll win this game. And I think that just spoke to that. Like, well, if I don't take these free throws, I can't come back into the game. And if I can't come back into the game, then maybe I'm going to walk off and they're going to tell me I got a torn Achilles, and that means I'm not going to play in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And I think it was just kind of him trying to fight what he knew was going on in his body, and like, no, I'm going to stay. And finally, I think Gary Beattie came over and said, hey, man, we got to go.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you said, that just sort of heart of a champion. Hey, no one's going to help me off. I'm going to walk off, you know, as much pain as this is, I'm just going to walk off the court and, you know, probably accepting his fate.
Yeah.
What did you know about Gigi, Matt? What did you know about, I mean, it seems that people talk about her being possible WNBA down the road or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I just know what you know. I never really had a chance to spend much time. All I'll say is, like, the extent of my interaction there is just seeing him a couple times. My middle daughter played volleyball on the travel circuit, and his oldest daughter plays. And, you know, when they played Sage Hills, he was there cheering like any dad. You know, not walking the hallways, not hiding from people, not looking at his phone, but just sitting there and getting excited about points and her playing. And that's kind of from everybody I've heard that's come across him and seen him out. That's how committed he was to those kids, that, you know, he wasn't just gonna, you know, throw a check at it, hire a coach and say, all right, well, here you go, good luck. He was in the middle of, I mean, he started these, you know, the Mamba Academy thing is for people, you know, I think it's being mentioned because that's where they were headed to, you know, when the helicopter crashed. But, you know, he started a volleyball club, he started a basketball club, for his kids. Like, hey, if you want to do this, all right, well, let's do it and we'll do it together, and I'll start a team and you find your friends. And, you know, I'll take on a lot of the expenses and we'll try to make it the best, you know, darn girls volleyball and girls basketball academy in the world. And let's go dominate like I did. And I think that just kind of speaks to what kind of, you know, again, from the outside and just from second and third hand, you know, what kind of parent he was.
Talk about, as a parent, you have a daughters. I do.
Three, yeah.
I can't imagine being able to go on.
No. No, and that's, you know, the sad thing is, and I'm not, I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but when I got the news, it was the first thing that went through my mind was, oh my gosh, I remember these Sunday mornings and going to these tournaments. And the first thing that I kind of thought of was, I hope it's not kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's a multiplier for the tragedy, you know, that you have all these kids on there that were going to one of these games that, you know, any parent that has kids playing sports knows, you know, Saturdays and Sundays, they used to be for us waking up and drinking beers and watching football. And when you have kids and, you know, you want to be involved and you want to be part of their lives in that world, that's what you do from 6 a.m. until 3 or 4 p.m. You're in these giant gyms where you can't even hear yourself think. It's just whistles and screams and parents yelling and it just, you know, I don't know. I just had this terrible pit in my stomach thinking that that's what it was, that there were kids on that plane, that helicopter.
Feeling and, for Vanessa, obviously, too, right? I mean, Vanessa has not had it easy. Yeah.
No. I mean, you know, you've got three sisters, a 7-month-old that'll never know her father, and a wife that, you know, look, Kobe was rough, man. He was rough around the edges when he played. And I think you started to see it soften. Very, you know, you kind of get rid of that competitiveness And I think this, you know, Bill Plaschke wrote a great column. You know, he was able to get him right before LeBron passed him in points on Saturday. And, you know, it was so not Kobe to hear him say, man, I'm good. LeBron's going to pass me, and he's a Laker now, and he's not part of the family. And he even acknowledged, he's like, look, you know, I've kind of realized that part of me's gone, you know, and it was like he was almost at peace with it for someone who was never at peace with it.
Yeah.
You know, if you had there was the tiniest slight shot his direction, he was coming back with haymakers. And I think to see him acknowledge, hey, this guy is one of the greatest, and he's going to go down as one of the greatest, and I want him to hang those banners, and I want him to pass me, and I want him to do great things because he's not part of the Laker family and will be forever. That is just not Kobe.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, and I want to believe, and I do believe, I think just because we all change when we become parents and we get into the competitive sports world with our kids, you do kind of recognize, hey, I just want everyone to succeed. I don't care. You know, these are kids out there, and I want them to do great things, regardless of what team or what sport, you know, or who they're playing for. It's just there's something about sports that brings us, you know, not to try to get too preachy or sound stupid, but, you know,
it does mean a lot
to recognize, you know. Yeah. I think maybe just, hey, sports is something that brings people together. Why use it to create divisions when, you know, you don't need to? You don't have to be Team LeBron or Team Kobe. You can just be Team Lakers, and let's just kind of get behind the team as a city, no matter who's wearing the jersey.
You can follow Matt on Twitter at Matt Money Smith. Also, the Petros and Money Show on AM 570. What are you doing today, Money?
Today, well, you know, I think today is, you know, it's sad because, you know, Justin Turner is one of the great Angelinos, born and raised here, a great Dodger, captain of the Dodgers, even though they don't name us as the official captain. He's the leader of that team. And, you know, he's got his own foundation, and he's built two houses, and he gets homeless vets off the streets. He's got a woman's house and a man's house, and today's his big golf tournament. And he raises a bunch of money every year. He sponsors our Veterans Radiothon, and I think this year we did almost $200,000.
Oh, wow.
And this is another part of that. And I think it just speaks to kind of, you know, what athletes mean in this city. And, you know, Justin's part of that. And you know, he and Kobe had a relationship because they were elite athletes in the city, and they were determined to get back to the city. And it's normally a day of celebration where you're having a good time, and there's a bunch of folks, you know, big name, you know, athletic celebrities and celebrities in general running around. Gretzky always comes out. And, unfortunately today it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of reflection. But I think, again, it just kind of speaks to how important athletes are to this community and what they do to give back. And I think Kobe was going to be a big part of that, you know, in the second phase of his life, his non-playing life. And unfortunately we, you know, and obviously most importantly, his family, were robbed of that.
Yeah.
It's difficult to talk about. It's a subject that's difficult to talk about, but thank you for doing it, Matt. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, you got it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Time for one last look at what's happening.
I was thrilled to find out that almost all the movies that could possibly be in the top 10, Kevin saw this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
No, I saw the number one I saw last weekend. But go ahead.
A Bad Boys for Life you saw last weekend. Mm-hmm. Okay, when did you see 1917?
I don't remember.
Okay, a
maybe
couple
the weekend
weeks
before.
Ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And The Gentleman you saw this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Doolittle you've seen five times?
I have not seen Doolittle.
No? Every weekend for the past five weekends?
That doesn't look great.
No. No, it doesn't look great.
No.
Here's the thing. Sony's Bad Boys for Life, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, and Oscar contender 17, both surged past the $100 million mark at the box office, becoming 2020's first films to reach that landmark. And, of course, that also has to do with top 10 at the box office. Number one, Bad Boys for Life. Number two, 1917. Number three, Doolittle. Four, The Gentleman. Which we were told by the movie man that it was basically a throwback to all of Guy Ritchie's early great stuff.
Yeah, it was.
And you felt that.
Very much so, yeah. It was great.
It was good.
Were you able to understand everything? Because a lot of old Guy Ritchie stuff, I don't understand what they're saying.
Because of the time differences where you go flashbacks and forward and stuff, sometimes it is difficult.
What about dialogue? Because sometimes his dialogue's hard
to
understand.
He means the
dialogue
accents,
you could understand pretty well.
Because that's a subtitle guy for me, Guy Ritchie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Put the subtitles on.
Well, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, definitely. That one, like, you can't understand a single word.
I understand six or seven words in Snatch.
Same.
I have to depend on all the visuals. I'm like, oh, this is a good movie. I can't really know.
Really?
Well, for reals, no joke, I don't really know much of what's said in Snatch, so I had to watch it with subtitles, and now I'm like, oh, this is good. True.
Amazing.
Do you guys watch movies with subtitles?
Never.
Oh, I always do.
No.
Always.
I have friends, I'm going to say it, Peaky Blinders. I have friends that can't watch Peaky Blinders because they don't understand what they're saying. So now they watch it with subtitles. I don't understand that. I
do it in
every
almost
every word.
I do it in movies with just pure English. It doesn't have to be an accent
really?
Or anything. Yeah. I have bad hearing, so it's like it's just a dream.
You know, you can turn it up.
Honestly, I'd rather just read it.
Yeah. We are so
I don't
want to
read a movie.
I don't want to read ever. That if there's a movie, but if there's a movie with subtitles, like you both loved Parasite so much.
Loved it.
To the point where you're like, Allie, just watch it. It's amazing.
Loved it.
I'm honestly dreading sitting down and watching it because I know I won't be able to focus because I will just be like, oh, look at my curtain, the way it's swaying right there. Like, I just can't focus if I have to read.
That's true of me, too, but it kept me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
And I will say, it does ruin some visuals for me because I'm watching the reading, you know, I'm reading rather than watching all the scenes. But it's just better for me for hearing and understanding everything that's being said, yeah. I watch probably 80% of movies at home with subtitles, yeah. Now you know why I collect Blu-rays, just because I need that closed captioning.
And no one will go to the movie with you.
Yeah.
What did he say? What did he say?
Exactly.
Will you write down what he's saying and then hand it to me? Throughout the whole movie, write it down.
It's all making sense now. Mm-hmm.
Don't you hate, though, when you read ahead?
Yeah, and you don't hear
and
the
then
whole
you don't hear
line. I know,
and
sometimes you don't hear full line read. I know, yeah. I'm an issue here, but it makes me able, and I'm also like I'm a writer, so it's that's really what I'm focusing on.
Sure.
And it makes sure I can hear everything.
I mean, anything that you have to tell yourself.
I'm just yelling at my
movies.
Wife. Write faster. Her pen is smoking.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, God.
No, she's not a big movie person.
No.
Will she watch movies with you?
Yeah, but we'll put the subtitles on. And she's like, yeah, I like that. We're both into that.
So she can sort of she's into it too?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Don't I thought she just put up with it.
No, I think she's into it. It's better that than turning it louder for either of us.
All right. You're one step away from get off my lawn.
Yeah. Right?
I think
you're
one
like
step
an
away.
Old man.
I
why not just use headphones?
That is, my dad used to do that. So this is a hand-me-down.
Oh, no.
I would do wireless and sit on the couch. But
right?
I think I haven't went fully there yet.
Oh, you're close.
You should.
I know I'm very
you
close.
You
should
real close.
Go there fully.
But yeah.
Well.
Me and Danielle just sitting with our headphones on. Good movie, right?
What?
Good movie. You reading?
What?
I'm reading. Good read.
Adler snuck out hours ago. It's like my parents don't even hear well. It's awesome. So Ewan McGregor is addressing recent reports that have claimed his Obi-Wan Kenobi series with Disney Plus is dead in the water. He says, not so. He and director Deborah Chow are countering the reports and saying the series has just been pushed back over scripts. Calm down, everybody. Mm-hmm. Here's his quote. It's not been put on hold. It's just been pushed back a little bit. The scripts are excellent. And they just want them better. So we just pushed it back. But it's not, it's very dramatic. It would seem online, there's all sorts of S online about it. But it's only slid back a bit. Guys, the script is excellent. They just want it better.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that.
Too late. Trolls are in motion.
It is crazy, though, that everybody sort of inside baseball on entertainment and on movies. And if a movie's pushed back, it usually means it's bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no pushback when it's too good.
Yeah. Right.
Too good. Push it back.
He said, we're still shooting it. I think it will still be aired when it was meant to be. And I'm really excited about it. It'll be fun to play again. I want to see that. I want to see him back, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I would like to see it.
I'm with that lady.
I do think Star Wars has a bit of a history right now from firing directors and et cetera. So that, I think people just see where there's smoke, there's fire.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about Disney developing a lifelike remake of Bambi?
Like they did Lion King?
Yeah.
I don't care.
The film will employ the same photorealistic CGI used on Disney's remakes of The Jungle Book and Lion King to tell the story of the fawn who befriends a rabbit and a skunk before coping with the death of his mother at the hands of a hunter. I don't need that more realistic, what I'm saying.
I never hoped
I'd need that at all.
It traumatized me as a kid. Do I need it looking more realistic? Like, honey, here's the part where, mom.
Oh, there's blood now.
That's just. You guys, I don't know.
I don't need to see it.
I mean, I'll still watch it. Because, as we know, I watch movies to cry.
Sure.
We discussed this.
Did you watch Lion King, the live-action one?
Yeah.
It really made a difference.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
But it was the same movie.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, but it looked 100% different. It looked like, it literally looked like there were real lions, but then you're like, oh no, they're kind of cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
It was confusing.
I mean, didn't that one make $1 billion?
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone knew the story, the entire story.
Yeah.
Going
all
into
the
it.
Songs. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, Scar's cool. Like he's a nice uncle. No, it's the same movie, but it looked different.
Yeah.
And it felt different.
That would be funny if, like, they'd change things to be more updated and Scar's like, this is lit! Or whatever.
I'm not positive that
would
be great.
They check their iPhones.
I hate Scar so much. So sad, guys. Have you ever thought about bringing a dummy into your car so you can ride in the carpool lane?
Of course.
Yeah.
Is my child a carpool? If it's me and him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
I never asked anybody.
Don't you put your kid in the back?
It's one of the,
truly, come on, dude.
It's just in the back. Yeah. He has to be in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's what I was saying. You put him in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. What if I found out? What are you talking about? No, I see the seatbelt right in the front. He changes the radio.
No, you can have, carpool can be in the back, like an Uber, anything like that. Yeah, as long as it's more than one person. But it cannot be a plastic skeleton in the passenger seat that's wearing a hat and covered in tattered cloth. The Arizona Department of Public Safety tweeted out this picture. You guys, a 62-year-old driver was cited for HOV and window tinting violations. And that's who was sitting next to him. He was buckled in. So I say, let's give him maybe a pass on that. Maybe just make it a fix-it ticket for the tinting.
You see this story about once every 2 years.
All the time.
It's
all
crazy.
All the time. And I mean, who's to say what's real to some people and what's not?
No. No. Nope. I just
denied. If he's not real, who have I been talking to?
Like Lars and the real girl.
Yeah.
What if he brought her and she was in the front seat?
Mm-hmm. No, still no.
Or what about all the women that are pregnant? Can't they be like, listen,
there's two in here, I'm making one right now. Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know how that works.
I mean, let's we'll work give on a call
no,
right
please
now.
Don't. We're leaving.
We don't need calls.
We're leaving.
Okay. Just trying to help out, you guys.
Mm-mm.
Hey, if you're Channing Tatum.
Yes.
And you break up with Jessie J or she breaks up with you, whatever, you take a break. Now you're back together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you don't want? You don't want trolls on your Instagram slamming her every chance they get.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people writing, Jenna looks better with you. A reference to
his
Channing
ex-wife.
Tatum's ex-wife of 9 years, Jenna Dewan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Bad.
What is wrong with you people? So he wrote down, ain't nobody more stunning and beautiful to look at than Jessie. I don't usually address S like this, but you seem as good of a terrible, happy, people-hating, thoughtless person as any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you seriously think about what you're doing? It's hurtful, and I ain't about it.
I'm screaming.
He then, of course, had to come back and say, and by saying nobody's better looking, that's also not a slight on my ex-wife, who's also beautiful.
Wow.
Like, he had to, like, then go overboard and stop it. Channing Tatum is not your friend. He doesn't want to hear about his ex-wife on his page. Stop writing personal things to celebrities and trying to... It's disgusting.
That does seem super odd.
You're
it's
creepy,
stupid.
People.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I've had enough of it. Thank you for understanding. Guys, some birthdays for you. Alan Cumming, Patton Oswalt, Keith Olbermann, and Guillermo Rodriguez from The Jimmy Kimmel Show. Happy birthday to all of you. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. And you drive home today. Listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial-free 5 p.m. hour.
Random. My name is Jim. I am homeless.
Random act of... That guy was magical today.
Was great.
Tomorrow morning, Jensen's Rank Bank.
Yes.
Allie, Dream Interpreter.
Oh.
And we will continue to give you tickets to see the Lumineers at Staples Center on Friday, August 21st. You also qualify to see them again at Lollapalooza in Brazil. Did I mention that too many times today, do you think?
No, I think you did all right.
That did great.
But also, while we're talking about things, after the sad news of the death of Kobe Bryant, an L.A. sporting legend... all Los Angeles radio stations, if you can believe it, on the AM and FM dial, have teamed up to run a 1 minute and 8 second silence across the board. So no matter what station you're on, there will be a silence in his memory on all commercial stations in L.A. simultaneously. So that's unbelievable. And Kevin, you've been in L.A. radio for 30 years.
Yeah.
You said this has happened, what, 2-3 times
yeah,
total?
Maybe 9-11. I mean, like, just doesn't ever happen.
Right.
Sorry.
He just knocked the mic over. He was so surprised.
Happen.
Yeah. But yeah, it's an amazing tribute to a sports icon.
And I think we want to end today's show by playing Kobe.
Yeah.
Talking about his retirement.
Man! Man! Guys, you know, it's, I can't believe how fast 20 years went by. I mean, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And, you know, to be standing here at center court with you guys, my teammates behind me, and appreciating all this, you know, the journey that we've been on. You know, we've been through our ups and been through our downs. And I think the most important part is that we all stayed together throughout. You know, I grew up a diehard, I mean a diehard Laker fan. Diehard. I mean, I knew everything about every player that's ever played here. So to be drafted and then traded to this organization and to spend 20 years here, I mean, you can't write something better than this. And I'm more proud of the fact that not about the championships, but about the down years, because we didn't run. We didn't run. We played through all that stuff, and we got our championships, and we did it the right way. And all I can do here is just thank you guys. Thank you guys for all the years of support. Thank you guys for all the motivation. Thank you for all the inspiration. And, you know, what's funny, the thing that had me cracking up all night long was the fact that I go through 20 years of everybody screaming to pass the ball. Then on the last night, they're like, don't pass it. This has been absolutely beautiful, you guys. I can't believe it's come to an end. You guys will always be in my heart. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. And I love you guys. And to my family, my wife Vanessa, our daughters Natalia and Gianna, you know, thank you guys for all your sacrifice. You know, for all the hours I spent in the gym working and training. And Vanessa, you holding down the family the way that you have. I can't, there's no way that I can thank you enough for that. So, yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And what can I say? Mamba out.